Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop.com/shop/shoppe. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The money was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it's time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
There you go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Brian Amber Jackson, number one guy. It's 7:02 in California. It's in the morning. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. We're worldwide. I say that because it's morning somewhere here, afternoon somewhere, Italy maybe. I don't know. No, Italy should be evening. It's afternoon somewhere. Yeah. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. Topic, here we go. Headline, Donald Trump, twice impeached, twice indicted, and soon may be your president. You know, we say this on the show sometimes. It's like the world moves so fast. If you know, when you went to bed last night, you wake up this morning, it's a different world because it's moving so fast. You got AI, you got writers on strike, so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, it wasn't like that. Maybe you had the writers on strike, but now you got UPS people think about going on strike. And you got your actors on strike, the teachers union, so on and so forth. I'm stalling because it's early in the morning and the people of the morning crew are going to be in soon. This is our time to talk. The world's a mess, my friend. You woke up to a mess. It's lawless. It's crazy. You got it. Like I said, the topic. Here we go. Headline. Donald Trump, twice impeached, twice indicted, and soon may be your president. Our second topic, if everything works out okay, I cross my fingers. We're going to talk about life behind bars, the secret love life. You would not believe what's going on behind bars. I will contact my brother, my real brother, who worked in a correctional facility for a period of time. He'd tell me stories and things like that. He asked me to call him. And we'll make a live call. You know we do a live call. I'll call him on the air and see if he'll come on and tell us some of the stuff that he has learned and he has seen. That's what we'll talk about. So I am stalling right now. until people wake up and come onto the studio. Yeah, I don't understand. I really don't understand. I said this in the beginning. I said this 2 years ago. I may have said it 3 years ago. Watch out for the millennials. They're going to destroy the world. I said that. I told you I was the first one to say it. They're going to destroy the world that we know it. And I say this because I see it coming. I saw it coming. When you have a thing about let's get rid of bullying, first of all, it's the American way. That's what we do. We bully. That's it. It's natural. It's the strong makes fun of the weak. That's what we do. That's just how the world is. But when you have a group of people who are growing up and they're taught don't bully, we're in trouble. And not only do you not bully, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets something. There's no individuality anymore. We're just showing up. Just showing up. You get rewarded. You can see how the world is going to get weak, and we get weak. We get weak. One of my favorite movies is, forget that. It doesn't really matter. He's a drill sergeant, and he's talking to his Full Metal Jacket, and he's talking to his recruits. He's calling them names. He's threatening them. He's toughing them up. He's not hugging them. He's not trying to understand them. He's doing what he has, and we're talking about the drill sergeant. He's doing what he has to do to toughen these morons up. Oh, sidetracked, by the way. I got another warning. Block Talk and me, we don't get along. We don't get along. I believe in the First Amendment, free speech. They believe in censorship. What the hell is that? So I think I did a show 3 days ago. 3 days ago, Friday maybe. And I got another warning. And another warning is this. And I'm going back to the drill sergeant. I'm going back to the Donald Trump thing. But I'm allowing the morning crew to come in the studio. But your favorite guy here has a complaint. And I could only complain to the people because the authority people won't listen to reason. So apparently they're trying to change my show to mature. There is a thing on Blog Talk, you have different things for mature audience and blah, 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 or adult and whatever. I didn't even know they had that, but they do. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so I get this warning. Please read the rules of conduct. Rules of conduct. Okay, I never read those before, so maybe I do. You know, nothing's on TV. Read a good book, and one thing is I've been on the air for more than 10 years. I might as well read the code of conduct. What is this? So I was chastised again for using, as they call it, vulgarity. I don't know vulgarity. I'm not a friend of vulgarity. Who is this vulgarity? Who is this thing? And as talking to the person, we had this one little segment where she says, you're referring to a woman's private area as the P word. I go, uh-huh. I see nothing wrong with that. Goes, well, we would like for you, if you refer to a woman's private area as the P, we would like you to use the clinical sense. I go, clinical sense? You know, vagina, blah, 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 blah. I go, I see. And you're referring to her breasts as breastises. Yes, I see nothing wrong with her breastises. And she proceeded to say, what is breastises? I said, breastises. It's like one is a breast, two, breastises. Because there's no such thing as breast. I go, trust me. We went back and forth. I go, so what do you want me to do? She goes, well, we would like for you to kind of clean up and read the code of conduct. There is no there's no bullying. I go, okay. There's no vulgarity. Okay. There's no attacking people. Okay. And she went down the list. There's 5, 6. Then I said to my head, oh, my God, that's my whole show. That is my show. She goes, well, can you control yourself? And I said, no, I have this thing. I have this thing like Tourette's. And sometimes I mean, I'm on the right track, and then the Tourette's come into play, and next thing you know, vulgarity comes out. You know, she goes, oh. I said, you know, I'm a simple guy. I'm a humble guy. You know, we didn't have much when I was growing up. Because I could tell that she was a millennial. And I had to play on the millennial heartstrings. I know that heartstring. I played on it, and I'm saying, you know, when we were small, we didn't have much to eat. And I remember our dad used to dress us up on a Sunday. We get all dressed up, and then we went to a restaurant, but we couldn't afford the food. So we sat at the restaurant, and so my dad wanted us to see what food looks like. So we sat there and wanted us to smell what real food looks like. And we sat there and we smelled food. We saw food, and then we left because he just wanted us to know what food was like. She goes, oh, my. I go, yeah, yeah. He goes, I don't even live in a home. I live in a Walmart box. It's a big box. And you know, sometimes we get a big box if there's a TV, and we extend our home by putting that other box there, and we make it another room. She goes, oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. She goes, well, Brian, I go, yeah. She goes, try to work with us. Try to not be so... And she couldn't figure out a word, swear to God. Try not to be so Brian. I go, well, I'll try. Thank you for whatever you do. Have a good show. I go, okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was it. So, but going back to the millennials, I knew we were in trouble. Everybody helps somebody. And what happens is that we cross that bridge. By using that concept of the millennials, nobody's an individual. There's no individual accomplishment. Everybody's the same. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody helps each other. We're all one. Kumbaya, yay, yay, yay. God bless America. Now, I can't cuss because I promised that lovely lady that I would do it, but that's bullshit. Well, maybe I can't cuss. Wait a minute. I got secret stuff that I can't cuss, and I'm still being a good boy. Let me see. I can't cuss. Okay, here we go. But I think that's...
bullshit.
Thank you. Yeah, nothing but...
bullshit.
There you go. I didn't say it. Still on the line. So the danger of that, it creeped into our society. And the danger of that is there's no more mental illness. There's not. And these are the people who are millennials, and they're grown up now. They're full-grown ass men. They're running companies, corporations, so on and so forth. And God forbid if you're a man, and God forbid if you're in a workforce, God forbid if there's a great-looking girl with a big set of pillows, honkers, that you look at them, it will cost you not only your job, your career, it will cost you everything, and you may even be listed as a sex offender just by not touching her, by the way, because I do not condone that. Nobody puts hands on anybody. But just looking at her, and we're a society that if you look at her and she just feels uncomfortable, you could lose your ass, everything. She will go right to HR. And all she has to say is, I feel uncomfortable. That's all she has to say. You're on the street living in a box, a Walmart box, next to me on a corner. But not next to me because I got the high ground, and you have to work to get to the high ground. You got to go down to the lower flats. And you bring your box uphill. Sometimes you can move on up. And it's because of how the millennial's thinking. Because we can't function as human beings anymore. Just because she's uncomfortable. Not because you did anything. This is the millennial way. This is the millennial way. This is what we live in. This is why we are messed up. This is why Donald Trump, who was twice impeached, twice indicted, and has a good chance of being your president. Where else in this world can you have that on your resume and you be the most powerful man in the world? And you have a following. And you know why he has a following? I'll tell you why. People say, I don't understand it. Yeah, you do understand it. Because this is a revolt against the millennials. This guy is not, what do you call it, decent. He attacks people, not only the people who are in the legislator area. He attacks citizens, normal people. He goes and gropes people in the department store, borderline rape, sexual assault. And then the guy goes in, then he goes into his donor program, and he raises millions of money off of that, saying, well, the left wing is trying to get me. Please donate so I can take it to my lawyers and I can fight this. Only in, this reminds me of Don King, only in America. Only in America that you can assault a woman, sexually assault a woman, and have your donors give you $4 million for doing so, so they can fight this thing that I did not do, because his defense was, look at her. Well, who would go out with her? And look at me. Really, you believe that I would really have sex with her? Yes. Because you did not have sex with her or try to have sex or allegedly have sex with her now. You allegedly did this 20 years ago. So she did not look like an older person. She's 20 or 30 years older. She was hot at one time, and you were a perv. Yes, you did. See, Donald Trump thinks you're a moron, but I don't think so. I think we're fighting back from the millennials' thinking, critical thinking. I think we're fighting back. And I think Trump is part of that. And people are tired of the bullshit. There is a thing in California. I didn't bring it up, and I should have brought it up because I'm usually accurate. You're not going to believe what's happening. It's called rainbow math. They're thinking about changing how kids are doing math nowadays. They're changing it. I remember when I was in school, they used to call it new math. Then they went to this other math. So now they're going to change it again. Now, the concept is you wait till you hear this. Can't cuss. Wait till you hear this.
Oh, shit.
What it is this. They don't want kids to excel in math anymore. So what they're going to do is that everybody has to be at the same level. So you usually have, when you have your kids and there's some schools are already doing this, and you have some kids who excel in math, you know, they not only math bores them, they go into geometry, algebra, and calculus, those kids. Remember those kids? Those kids. Well, now they're going to cut those out. They're not going to, they go, no, you can't do this. They're going to keep them in the same state as the morons, kids, that your little moron kid. They're not going to allow, some schools are not going to allow them to progress, into that new algebra, calculus. Well, they're not going to do that anymore. See, the left has something to do with it, too. You know, I'm not just going after the crazy Republicans who are cowards. Sometimes we got some cuckoos on the left, too. This is ridiculous. It's the millennial way of thinking. They're now grown. They're writing the laws. They're writing the rules. That's what they're doing. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, Pat. Are you going to give me a good reading? Pat, let me introduce who Pat is, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous psychic. people are looking for her. She just doesn't even have the time to read them anymore. She's so tired of reading you guys, your
yeah.
problems and your fortunes. So she comes into the show. She has a little coffee. She takes her break. But on the perk of it, I get to have me, you know, give my tarot card reading. That's what I do. And today I'm really expecting a full studio. I really am. And hopefully Pat will be reading some people if she's generous enough to do so. That's what I'm hoping she do. All right, so today we're going to explore, and I'll get back to the millennials, and I think this is, and this goes into, we're going to talk about that, but we're going to put it on a back burner. But the reason the world is so screwed up, I'm believing, is how the millennials are thinking, and now they're running the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just pawns and watching the world go down the toilet. You know, back in my day, I'm going to get into a situation when we can get into it. I have a couple of friends. I have one friend on Facebook who's a transgender. She's been on the show. And her and I, she considers me a good friend. She knows my views on transgenderism or trans or people transing. And I have a big, big, heavy thing about kids going through this process who are not old enough to realize what they're doing and taking steroids at a young age and blockers and blah, blah, blah. I have a big thing about that, but we're not going to talk. But again, the millennials, nobody's left behind. There's no crazy people. See, that's what happens. There's no crazy people. There's no insane people anymore because of the millennials. That line has been drawn. It has been moved back, kicked back, because even if you're crazy, it's not nice to say crazy. It's not even nice to say hungry anymore. They call it food insecure. You can't say hungry anymore. You can't say starving anymore. You have to use the word food insecure. What the? I don't have an F word on my thing, do I? What the? You know what of that? Food insecure? My God, what are we doing? Think about it. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. I have, like I said, I have the lovely Pat in the studio. And I got a lot of people listening who are not in the studio, but here's how it works. I gave you the phone number. You can listen to the show without coming in the studio. But I think, oh God, it's been such a long time. I think you could call the number. You may appear in the studio, and if you do come in the studio, you hit the number one, and I see it right now. Pat has her little hand raised, and a little hand will raise. We're going to explore how we got here with Donald Trump. We're going to explore what in the F going on with Donald Trump. You know, even if you say the letter, aren't you saying the word? But we're going to find out why you morons, why you idiots are still backing the number one criminal of the United States, the number one traitor of the United States. I mean, I'm going to give him credit. I mean, he's allowed to run. But we're going to get into this. We're going to get into what he's saying. He did a town hall meeting, and we'll listen to what he has to say. Maybe I'm just being biased. Maybe if I listen to him a little bit more, I can get radicalized. Get me a mega hat. Pat. Pat is from Canada.
Yeah.
Pat loves me. Pat secretly loves me, or she secretly don't. Would you read me today, Pat?
Yeah, which deck do you want?
Well, I like the deck that you had yesterday. It was pretty spot on.
Okay.
It was pretty spot on. And, you know, like I said, Pat charges for her readings. She doesn't do it. She's not a charity psychic, I mean. And she knows when you're broke because she won't read you. She goes, well, you know, there's many people, homeless people at her door. And she says, I don't do charity.
Oh, come on.
You're this is how you earn your living, right? You can't just give it away.
Well, no, but
all right. What, I'm being crude? Just saying.
No. It's
all
just
all right. If your money insecure, Pat, you come on this show, Pat may give you a reading. How's that, Pat? Is that better?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So bring your broke ass in here. All right, if you'd like to come in, you'd like to come into the show, 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. That's the number to come into the studio. That's the number you'll talk to me and Pat. That's the number that your voice will get to be heard worldwide, right, Pat? Okay, we got a busy show. I know, Pat, Donald Trump is not your thing. I know what you're going to expect. I know you're going to cringe because we have people coming in. As soon as they see Donald Trump, it's a buzzword. It's some kind of word that triggers them, and they decide to come in and cause hell. Right, Pat? That's usually what it is,
right.
Like a tornado. And Pat's going to go, oh, my God, the yelling's going to start. The chairs are going to be flying. I don't know.
Mr. Solution will be screaming.
They get a little out of control, right? So that's what's going to happen today. All right, guys, buckle up. I am not your regular radio host that's politically correct. No. I will not cuddle you. No. I will not feel sorry for you. No. I am not your 12-step program. No, I'm not. But I will give you a fair shake. That's what I would do. Right, Pat?
Yep. Yeah.
Once in a while, what we're going to do, and I'm going to have to make a call to my brother because he wanted me to call him and wake him up because I wanted to talk about, first we're going to talk about the correction facility and what goes on there and the shakedowns that go on in the correctional facility, love behind bars, and I don't understand some of you women that love prisoners, and there's a dating site for prisoners, believe it or not. It's a dating site called... It is. It's called something Prisoners or Us or something, and you can find love with people behind bars. You can search the kind of lover you want. It's true. You can search the kind of lover you want. Rapists, killers, thieves. You have your choice of these lovely men. Yeah. And these are the kind of women love. But we're not going to talk about women who dating. Well, maybe we'll put on the outside. But we're going to talk about what goes behind the bars, about what goes behind the politics of and the corruptions of once you're there, the politics of it, survival, how deputies are making love to other prisoners and helping them to escape and shit like that. Did I say shit? I cannot say shit. I said shit again. Oops, I cannot stop myself. Shit.
Why? Why can't you say it?
I got a warning that I have a potty mouth.
Oh, no. That's going to kill me.
No. Let it loose, Pat. I like it when you're raw. Let it fly. So I'm hoping that we can talk about that before we get to Trump. So what I'm going to do right now, Pat is shuffling her cards for me. Hopefully she is. I'm going to make some coffee. I'm going to give it a chance. Okay. Oh, you already did it.
Already.
So when we come back, Pat is going to read me my cards. And if you come into the studio, she may be reading yours. We got some surprise people coming to the studio that I do know that's coming in. Ellen's coming in the studio pretty soon. It's been a long time since Ellen's been in the studio.
Really?
Melissa's listening. Yeah. You remember Ellen, don't you?
Of course I do.
Yeah. I want to say hello to Melissa and Laverne. And there's a longtime friend contacted me last night. She may be coming in. Angela. She may be coming in. It's a story between Angela and somebody else, and hopefully they squash that stuff. She's listening. All right, everybody, I'm going to take a break. We're going to get into Donald Trump twice impeached, twice indicted, and soon maybe your president. The number one more time, 319-527-6099. That's the number. And we'll be right back. I mean, this is the part where I get my coffee. And when we come back, Pat's going to read me. Hey, Pat, you think you could bear with me for a minute? There's this guy. And he's such an inspiration. Some people are saying, Brian, your show's not inspirational. I said, yes, it is. Shut up. That's how I answer them. Aren't you inspired to be mean back at me? No. Oh, you're a pussy. Brian! Okay. This guy. So he spoke at this university. He's a great guy. And they're talking about the, you want really something to be inspired about, something to have your better self, and you don't really know how to do that because you're a millennial and you're a dumb person. Because you lost your way and you're looking for somebody else to lead you because you kind of mend in a crowd. Well, you should listen to this guy because he's very inspirational. And the reason I'm playing this guy is because I need coffee to talk to you. That's what I need. And here we go. And when we come back after this guy, Pat's ready for me, and she's going to read my, I want to say fortune. Remember back in the old days, they used to call it a fortune. You're going to read my fortune. What do they call it? What do they call it now? Just a reading? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, but, you know, it's still telling your fortune.
Yeah. I'm fortunate to have my fortune told by the greatest psychic of all. Miss Pat Overland, she's right there, everybody. Look at Miss Pat Overland. Yes. All right. So we'll be right back. But, people were complaining that I don't give them enough inspiration. I give them enough inspiration. And, you know, they'll take a step. What do you want? I'm a guy who lives in a Walmart box. Leave me alone. But here it is right here. Listen to this guy, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Thank you very much.
With Pat. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Well, thank you, President Powers, Provost Fenves, Deans, members of the faculty, family and friends, and most importantly, the class of 2014. It is indeed an honor for me to be here tonight. It's been almost 37 years to the day that I graduated from UT. I remember a lot of things about that day. I remember I had a throbbing headache from a party the night before. I remember I had a serious girlfriend, who I later married. That's important to remember, by the way. And I remember I was getting commissioned in the Navy that day. But of all the things I remember, I don't have a clue who the commencement speaker was, and I certainly don't remember anything they said. So acknowledging that fact, if I can't make this commencement speech memorable, I will at least try to make it short. So the university's slogan is, "What starts here changes the world." Well, I've got to admit, I kind of like it. What starts here changes the world. Tonight, there are almost 8,000 students, or there are more than 8,000 students, graduated from UT. So that great paragon of analytical rigor, ask.com, says that the average American will meet 10,000 people in their lifetime. 10,000 people, that's a lot of folks. But if every one of you changed the lives of just 10 people, and each one of those people changed the lives of another 10 people and another 10, then in five generations, 125 years, the class of 2014 will have changed the lives of 800 million people. 800 million people. Think about it. Over twice the population of the United States. Go one more generation, and you can change the entire population of the world, 8 billion people. If you think it's hard to change the lives of 10 people, change their lives forever, you're wrong. I saw it happen every day in Iraq and Afghanistan. A young Army officer makes a decision to go left instead of right down a road in Baghdad, and the 10 soldiers with him are saved from a close-in ambush. In Kandahar Province, Afghanistan, a non-commissioned officer from the female engagement team senses that something isn't right and directs the infantry platoon away from a 500-pound IED, saving the lives of a dozen soldiers. But if you think about it, not only were those soldiers saved by the decisions of one person, but their children were saved, and their children's children. Generations were saved by one decision, one person. But changing the world can happen anywhere, and anyone can do it. So what starts here can indeed change the world. But the question is, what will the world look like after you change it? Well, I'm confident that it will look much, much better. But if you'll humor this old sailor for just a moment, I have a few suggestions that may help you on your way to a better world. And while these lessons were learned during my time in the military, I can assure you that it matters not whether you ever served a day in uniform. It matters not your gender, your ethnic or religious background, your orientation, or your social status. Our struggles in this world are similar, and the lessons to overcome those struggles and to move forward, changing ourselves and changing the world around us, will apply equally to all. I've been a Navy SEAL for 36 years, but it all began when I left UT for basic SEAL training in Coronado, California. Basic SEAL training is 6 months of long, torturous runs in the soft sand, midnight swims in the cold water off San Diego, obstacle courses, unending calisthenics, days without sleep, and always being cold, wet, and miserable. It is 6 months of being constantly harassed by professionally trained warriors who seek to find the weak of mind and body and eliminate them from ever becoming a Navy SEAL. But the training also seeks to find those students who can lead in an environment of constant stress, chaos, failure, and hardships. To me, basic SEAL training was a lifetime of challenges crammed into 6 months. So here are the 10 lessons I learned from basic SEAL training that hopefully will be of value to you as you move forward in life. Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed. During SEAL training, the students are all broken down into boat crews. Each crew is 7 students, 3 on each side of a small rubber boat, and 1 coxswain to help guide the dinghy. Every day, your boat crew forms up on the beach and is instructed to get through the surf zone and paddle several miles down the coast. In the winter, the surf off San Diego can get to be 8 to 10 feet high, and it is exceedingly difficult to paddle through the plunging surf unless everyone digs in. Every paddle must be synchronized to the stroke count of the coxswain. Everyone must exert equal effort, or the boat will turn against the wave and be unceremoniously dumped back on the beach. For the boat to make it to its destination, everyone must paddle. You can't change the world alone. You will need some help. And to truly get from your starting point to your destination takes friends, colleagues, the goodwill of strangers, and a strong coxswain to guide you. If you want to change the world, find someone to help you paddle. Over a few weeks of difficult training, my SEAL class, which started with 150 men, was down to just 42. There were now 6 boat crews of 7 men each. I was in the boat with the tall guys, but the best boat crew we had was made up of the little guys, the Munchkin crew, we called them. No one was over 5'5". The Munchkin boat crew had 1 American Indian, 1 African American, 1 Polish American, 1 Greek American, 1 Italian American, and 2 tough kids from the Midwest. They out-paddled, outran, and outswam all the other boat crews. The big men in the other boat crews would always make good-natured fun of the tiny little flippers the Munchkins put on their tiny little feet prior to every swim. But somehow these little guys from every corner of the nation and the world always had the last laugh, swimming faster than everyone and reaching the shore long before the rest of us. SEAL training was a great equalizer. Nothing mattered but your will to succeed, not your color, not your ethnic background, not your education, not your social status. If you want to change the world, measure a person by the size of their heart, not by the size of their flippers. Several times a week, the instructors would line up the class and do a uniform inspection. It was exceptionally thorough. Your hat had to be perfectly starched, your uniform immaculately pressed, your belt buckle shiny and void of any smudges. But it seemed that no matter how much effort you put into starching your hat or pressing your uniform or polishing your belt buckle, it just wasn't good enough. The instructors would find something wrong. For failing uniform inspection, the student had to run, fully clothed, into the surf zone, then wet from head to toe, roll around on the beach until every part of your body was covered with sand. The effect was known as a sugar cookie. You stayed in the uniform the rest of the day, cold, wet, and sandy. There were many a student who just couldn't accept the fact that all their efforts were in vain, that no matter how hard they tried to get the uniform right, it went unappreciated. Those students didn't make it through training. Those students didn't understand the purpose of the drill. You were never going to succeed. You were never going to have a perfect uniform. The instructors weren't going to allow it. Sometimes, no matter how well you prepare or how well you perform, you still end up as a sugar cookie. It's just the way life is sometimes. If you want to change the world, get over being a sugar cookie and keep moving forward. Every day during training, you were challenged with multiple physical events, long runs, long swims, obstacle courses, hours of calisthenics, something designed to test your mettle. Every event had standards, times you had to meet. If you failed to meet those times, those standards, your name was posted on a list.
Very inspirational.
And at the end of the day,
but we're
going to
interrupt
those on
this
list
changing the world because my special guest wants me to give him a call. He doesn't have much time. And I'm going to tell you something that's inspirational. I'm going to give a live call in the studio. Pat, you remember how we do this?
Yeah.
Sometimes we make calls. And this is a live call. And this person happened to be my brother, my real brother, Pat. How's that?
Interesting. But let me read your cards first because he wants a reading.
maybe if he wants to, you could probably give him a reading since it's family, huh? I rarely have family on the show because they're so ashamed of me. I don't know why. I'm a good guy. So let me make this call and see if it works.
Well, do you want to hear your reading first?
Wait, hold on. Let me make the call first, okay? Because I want them to, and then you give me a reading. I'll put them on hold. Hold on. Let me see. Here we go. I don't know if this is going to work because I don't know if I hit one. I never hit one. Let me try without the one. All right. Here we go. I'm going to make a live call. And it's to my brother. I think this is it. All right, let's see if this works. Let's see if it works. I hear a ring. Too many rings. Hello? Nope.
Is he expecting you?
He should be. Hello? Let's try this. That's another ringy dingy. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try.
You have reached 805.
Okay. Well, let me blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to try to call him again. Go ahead, Pat. Give me a reading.
Okay, well, it starts
and, one second. And we're going back to the title of the show today, Donald Trump twice impeached, twice indicted. And so maybe you're present. We're going to get into that. We're going to hear from Donald Trump, you know, on tape and everything. And you're going to find out how delusional he is and maybe how delusional you are. Right now, Pat wants to read me. And we're also going to talk about the topic behind bars. What's going on behind bars? It's a secret life. It's a secret society. And sometimes it's a love life. It's unbelievable. And my brother, I will call him again after the reading so he can give us a little insight. He has some great stories. All right, Pat. Ready.
Okay, well.
Do I have to ask you a question? Go ahead.
Hmm? No, will you?
Yeah.
I think I'll reshuffle this. I was looking at it, and I think I'll reshuffle it. So.
Well, you can't reshuffle it. Cause
you
don't
like it.
Yeah,
I can, because you said you wanted to ask a question. It works better with a question.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you got a question?
Yeah, I do. All right, Pat?
Yeah?
My love life, how is that going to turn out? Am I in a good relationship, or should I leave my relationship?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, these are not softball questions, Chickie.
Just give me a second here.
All right. Go through the fog, clear it out. Give me something uplifting.
Yeah, the other one wasn't. That's one reason I wanted to reshuffle.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm. That's the number one question.
Same
courage. I guess for an answer in love. Yes, Pat.
Same courage.
All right.
Same places.
Right. How about
Is that Canada girl
involved? You know what I'm trying to say? A hotsy-totsy girl in Canada? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. You will be having some bad health for a while.
Oh, great. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, but
this is not uplifting at all. Change
no,
the deck.
No,
you're
it's
reading,
not. And
you're reading the wrong deck. What is wrong with you? All right.
I'm reading the one you told me to read.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm listening. I'm going to have bad health. This is not going well.
Well, something's going to come up. Something's going to
come
up.
Yeah. Well, talk to me about that. I was talking about my love life.
It's going to happen when you're away. Like, the health thing is going to happen when you're away.
Really?
Yeah.
What
like,
is,
something's going to come up.
Well, is that a good thing? Because something come up is kind of a good thing. I'm counting something coming up, if you know what I'm talking about, Pat.
Yeah, but it shows this journey, right?
Yeah.
And it shows that you're going to be at a distance, but something's going to come up with your health.
Really?
I don't know what.
Oh,
and around privileged lady is up again. I think that's your partner.
Mm.
The occupation card and false person is up.
What?
So I don't know what's going on, but there's either somebody around you two or it's her.
Really? So,
yeah.
Okay, hold on one second because we got a special guest in the studio. Keep my cards hot, Pat, because this is a real good reading, and I will sue you later. You'll hear from my attorney, Mrs. All right. We got a mystery guest, but we don't have enough people in the studio to see who she is. Pat, when we have a mystery guest, we ask questions to find out who the mystery guest is, okay? You know who the mystery guest is, but we got to ask the question, okay?
Okay.
Okay, I'll go to the first question. Mystery guest, are you male or female?
Female.
That's Alan. Your turn, Pat. Oh, my God. Play along, Pat. I mean, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Johnson in the studio today. Hey, Ellen, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Ellen Johnson. There you go.
I recognize your voice.
you know that voice. Ellen used to be the executive producer of the show. Ellen, I am getting a reading from Pat, and she has me near death. I'm lost in the woods somewhere. And can you do Ellen too? Cause
yeah,
you do her
but
too?
I'm not finished.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you sure you're not with Jesse?
I have no idea. And Ellen's here because she has an announcement she wants to make. That is really, you're into businesses and you want to join her, she'll say it a little bit later, but that's why she's here. How long do I have you, Ellen?
I don't know how long the show. I'm going to have a couple calls and everything.
All right. Sounds good. And Ellen has done many things for the show. I mean, we've been on the air together for, like, years. And I went from – she'd be booking me on special guests, and I have gone to Louisiana as a what do you want to call it, a TED Talk or whatever. It started off at $500, and she raised it up to almost $2,000 of appearances, and she was going to book me on a rock and roll boat, and – she's done a lot of things for this show. There she is, Ellen Johnson. She made me who I am today. Look at her. Look at that. A very wealthy man who lives in a Walmart box. There you go. There we go.
Yeah, you said you wouldn't go on a boat because you're afraid of being eaten by sharks.
That's true. Yeah. We have to cancel that. She was booking me on a cruise with 80
Ooh,
rock and rollers. I mean...
Yeah, I was going to book you on the 80s cruise, okay?
Yes, yes. I would have no part of that.
Why?
I could barely hear you, kiddo. Let me see.
Why would you not have any part of that?
You know why. I don't want to hit no iceberg, and I don't want sharks. I'm a land guy.
Really? Okay, we're not on the Titanic, Brian.
Well, I don't want to be stuck with a lot of people with mullets. It freaks me out. It just freaks me out with the 80s hair and the mullets and the. But.
It would not. Okay,
I don't think that
really
would be happening.
No. I mean, they do have theme night, okay? But people don't walk around wearing their 80s clothes with their hair dressed up in the hairstyle like that all the time.
And how much were they going to pay me, Ellen, for my appearance on there?
You know what? I don't remember because that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
It was $1.50, and I had to pay for my own life story.
Yeah, it was $1.50, and they were going to put you in the hold.
That's
like
right.
On the Titanic.
Oh, no, actually, it was in the thousands of dollars, wasn't it, Ellen? It was in the thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
it was. The thousands of dollars. I think it was close to seven or something like that. All they had to do was stand and cruise with these over-the-hill rockers. And get my boat sank. That's all I had to do.
Some of these over-the-hill rockers are still putting out pretty good music.
And you know what? And you're right, because Ellen, just name a couple. I want to impress people. Just name a couple of people that Ellen has brought on the show. And these are legends of rock. They're not over-the-hill. They're legends of rock. And I had a chance to not only interview, I mean, just off the head, just a couple of people. I had a chance to sing with them, too. Couple of bands.
Okay,
Larry Russ from Iron Butterfly.
Iron Butterfly was on the show. Me and Larry Russ had the duel of Vita Love, Garden La Vida, right?
Yeah.
We sang together, didn't we? It was, in fact, I have them right here. Well, God, how does that go, Ellen? And Ellen was right
in
there going, oh, my God.
Vida?
Yeah.
On the
Garden La Vida, honey. You know that song?
Yeah.
We sung that together. And there was other bands. Go ahead, a couple of them. Alan, do you remember?
Yeah, we had Scott Wilson from Saving Abel.
Yes.
You know that song, Addicted. We had Doug Johnson and Paul Dean from Loverboy.
Really?
Yep. Yes, we did. Yeah, it was two separate interviews. We did Paul Dean like 4 or 5 years ago, and Doug Johnson like 8 or 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see, who else have we had on?
Had so many people. Remember that other song with what's his name? I sung with him. It's a great song. I really, really want you tonight. Remember that song? I really want you tonight. Remember that?
From John Fort Coley.
John Fort Coley. Remember John Fort Coley knew and it was it England Dan John Fort Coley?
Yep.
Was it that? And England Dan died. John Fort Coley was on his show. And we sung that song. I really want to see you tonight, really. I don't, you know this song. Come on.
Mm-hmm. He was, John Fort Coley was on the show promoting his book. It was called Backstage Pass.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he said that in that book, he got down and dirty. He gave out a whole bunch of secrets that nobody knows.
No more.
And don't forget, Michael Jackson's son was on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you see, Pat, it was a star-studded, and I sung. Okay, here's a song. Here's the song. If you don't remember the song, here's the song. And it was New England Dan and John Fort Coley. It wasn't New England Dan. It was England Dan and John Fort Coley. And England Dan
mm-hmm.
died, so I stepped in. Somebody had to step in, Pat. Here was the song, if you don't remember the song. Do you remember the song? So we sang the song. I said to him, all right, listen. You sing the chorus. I'll take the lead. He goes, but, no buts. Listen, mister. Know your place. Ellen's going,
I'll
no. What's that, Ellen? Yeah, he goes, it's my song. Listen, you. Know your place. I'll tell you when you come in. It was his song, and we sung it together. Here's the song.
Charts. Great way to start a new year for England Dan and John Fort Coley.
Yeah. Remember that song, Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I sung it so well that Ellen was swooning. Oh, hammer. She swooned. She swooned. Yeah, he goes, it's my song. I go, God, what a diva. You know your place. And we sang that together. And Garden DeVita, we sung it with Iron Butterfly. I sung that with him. And Megadeth was on the show, and we got in a big fight. It was like turned into a Springer fight, a battle. That was. What did he say to his publicist? I'd never seen anything like that before. I think he ran. I think he's in the witness protection program by now. So we had these people on the show. And thanks to Ellen. Ellen was the one who booked these people. And Ellen, hang on. Ellen doesn't know my family, and I keep my family secret for you guys. I'm going to call it again. Here's the thing. I'm going to call my brother. This is my real brother. He worked as a correctional officer. And we're talking about, before we get to the Trump thing, we're going to talk about people behind bars and the secret life behind bars and what's happening. And he tells us one story that I love. So I'm going to make the call. Remember, Ellen, we're going to try to make the call from the studio. So I'm going to make the call to see if it works. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, God. See if he's awake.
Let's see if he is.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, JD?
I'm doing all right, man.
All right. This is Ellen's in the studio, and we got our world-famous psychic Pat's in the studio. I told everybody I'm calling my brother, JD. Say hello to my brother, Ellen and Pat.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Now, we were talking. we were talking about, hey, you know what, JD, I had Dad on the show one time, and he went after Ellen's mother, trying to pick her up on live on the air. Remember that, Ellen, when my dad was on the show?
Yes, my mom.
And he tried to pick up on your mom. Oh, my God.
You know.
My mom on the show, too.
Yeah, I don't know how long your show was. He would have been successful if you had an hour show.
I know he would have been, because she was going, oh, my. He goes, yeah. So I was trying to do the show. He was trying to do the love connection, and Ellen's mother had no idea what was coming at her. And Ellen going, oh, my God, that's my mom. So that was a show.
Instead of going to my mom, I said, mom, really?
Yeah, your mom was saying, egging him on. Well, she sounds nice. Mom, really? I'm going, Dad, stop it. So that show went sideways quick. So here's what we're talking about, JD. You have been in a correctional facility, worked in a correctional facility how long?
31 years.
31 years. 31 years, so he knows what he's talking about. And when we, you know, we have a guy, I'm going to mispronounce his name, was he our attorney general? Forgot, he doesn't want people in jail. He's letting all these felons out of jail and everything. Gaston, I think it's Gaston, if I'm not.
No,
but I'm not
that sounds like what's going on here. They're letting all these little punk-ass kids out of jail, and they're going around killing people.
Right.
Gaston is L.A. County DA.
Yeah, yeah. And he has his thing since the pandemic and letting these felons out of jail. He doesn't think it's too crowded that it's going to, which is bullshit, that is, you know, they're going to infest them and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something.
Hey,
I'm going to get to JD.
Say something real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. I'm sorry for interrupting you. The prison system is not crowded. The governor has systematically shut down prisons. He set down Chuckawalla, is scheduled to be set down in 2025. Cal City is scheduled to be set down in 2025. He's already shut down, you know, the Corcoran fire camps and Tracy, the dual correctional facility out there in Tracy. That's, you know, one of the oldest facilities, and he shut that down.
Mm. Yeah, and there you go. And you wonder why the crime is so rapid in California. We're not going to get into it. I don't have enough time, but I want JD to talk. Now, what is it that we don't know that if you had to tell the public, if you had to write a book, JD, what is it that the public do not know what goes on behind those walls, the prison walls, that would really scare the living daylights out of us? Do you have any of those stories?
Oh yeah. You know, first of all, you could be walking down the pier and, you know, hold someone accountable, write them up, you know, and the next day you could come out and drop a piece of paper in front of you with your whole full address, your kid's name, and your wife's name on the paper.
Wow, and that happened to you. Tell that story. It's one of my funniest stories. I love the story, what you did. Now, he does have the bloodline of a hammer. You got to understand that, so there's already something wrong with him. But he's in a good spot, which gives him that good bloodline.
I was working at AGSAG.
Yeah.
I was working at AGSAG, the lockup unit, one of the most dangerous places to work. And there was a white supremacist guy all tatted up. Inside the shower, it was like a cage. And he started yelling racial epithets, fuck you, nigger, all this bullshit. And then he said something that made me snap. He said, when I get out, I'm going to find your daughters and rape and kill them. So he's facing me one-on-one. So I went. It was straight ghetto father mode. I went to the back office, got his file, found out his address, his mom's name, his siblings' names, He didn't have any kids. He was only 27 years old. So I flipped off the page while he was looking at me. And I said, oh, you live in West Covina on Euclid? All right. Your mother's name is Teresa. You have a 9-year-old brother and a 12-year-old sister? All right. And I said their names. I can't remember their names now. So I got on the phone. And I said, all right, you want to fuck with me? I said, look, I'm talking on the phone. I said, look, go to this address on Euclid. Sit on this house. Wait till the mother and kids go in that house, then burn that motherfucker down. And he just freaked out. He just freaked out, started screaming. And then I went further. I put in the logbook and I notified the tower that he is not to have any telephone privileges until approved by the lieutenant. So no one knew what that meant, but they knew they couldn't give him a phone call or let him on the phone, so he was freaking out. But he finally broke his shit down, begging me and shit, because he thought I had killed his family, and he couldn't get in touch with him. So after the third or fourth day, I let him on the phone, and I said, just remember one thing. As quickly as you could touch us, we could touch you.
There you go.
The harm. Yep.
Yeah,
there
they
you
don't
go.
Think of that, do they?
No.
No.
And my brother's a God-fearing person. He loves the Lord. Jesus walks with him. Amen, brother. And but JD, there's a different life behind there. You had to survive there. There's a different culture. As soon as you go to work, you do that, and as soon as you get in, and they shut that gate, and they shut the bars, and you're at a job. The job doesn't always stop at 9 to 5 or whatever shift you're working on. Let's forget it. Sometimes you take the crap home with you. Sometimes there's a prisoner or there's somebody going to get on your freaking nerves, or they're going to do something. There's always something happening there, even when you are not working. So what I want to do, you know, I read something in the paper the other day about this woman. This happened a year ago. This woman, she was a guard. She fell in love with this prisoner. She broke the guy out. She said that she was going to take him somewhere. She got in. They broke a guy out. She got in
the
car with him.
She was a supervisor.
Yes,
she saw him with an inmate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and nobody
basically. She shot herself in the head, if I remember right. They didn't shoot her. I think she committed suicide.
That's what the inmate says.
Yeah.
That's what the inmate says. The officers on duty probably allowed that story to stick just for her family's, chief, because they didn't want the family to think that this guy killed her. I think the story would have been better if you let that narrative, you know, fly, allow other people to think twice if the inmate killed her, then, was stopped before he killed himself. Because none of these relationships last too long. And I'm not sure if you know, but we had a relationship that went so bad, and I almost got myself in the middle of it, not intentionally, but we had a very – see, sometimes when you do backgrounds and people apply for these jobs, you have to understand the mindset. You can get someone who is street savvy, who has a high school diploma, they can do this job and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
The department some years ago decided to try to recruit college-educated people, thinking that they would have, you know, different approaches to dealing with, you know, violent offenders. So they had a 20-year span of just recruiting people with BA and master's degrees. So this young lady, I'm not going to use her real name, but I will use her stage name when I finish the story. She came from Oregon, and she was working on the sex offender unit. Now, a lot of people refuse to work mental health, med sec, the EOP yards. EOP means, you know, enhanced outpatient yard, just below, you know, the real criminally insane. but these people still will eat their own feces and try to kill themselves. So she was working the sex offender unit, and she was approached by a sex offender who gave her a sob story and all this crap. She fell for the sex offender, all right? So when it was discovered that they were involved in, you know, a romantic relationship, we didn't know how far it had gone, but it was over familiarity. So they walked her out. They put her on paid administrative leave for a couple months, and then they terminated her. Her boyfriend, the inmate, was sent to my institution and actually sent down to my housing unit.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got word of what was going on, we also found out that this young lady who was trying to make money became a porn star. So she went from correctional officer to porn star.
Oh, and right.
Her porn is still online. It's still on the internet.
What's the address? We'll talk later.
Well, the two movies she did was
yeah.
Big Booty White Girls 1 and Big Booty White Girls 2.
Big Booty White Girl?
Yeah. So.
All right.
Her acting name is Macy Lane. So what happened, this dude was on the tier, and I'm walking down the tier, and I get the word that he had done these movies. So unknowing, I forgot about one thing. You don't want to get into their world, and you don't want to disrespect the gang members for no reason because, you know, that starts bullshit. So I'm going down the tier yelling, "Big booty holes. Big booty hole," and when you say that disrespects the bounty hunter gangs from L.A. That's how you disrespect them. I call them big booty hole or booty holes. So I keep hearing these other dudes, these black guys, say, what up, blood? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm talking to this dude. How you trying to do this before, blood? And I was like, man, shit. So I had to get out the tier and say, oh shit, I fucked up. But the dude that kept saying big booty hole, he comes up to me, "Why you keep saying that, man?" I said, "I don't know, it's my favorite song, it's on the air." So he finds out that she's doing porn, now he's crying and stuff. So now we got a situation that he actually paroles, gets out and marries this correctional officer. And they have two kids. And within 6 months of the marriage, he's in prison again, now doing 40 years.
Can't believe that.
For one of her kids.
Oh, seriously?
Oh,
so you deal with that all the time. You know, you're saying you're in that world for 30 years. I've known you for all your life.
I've seen it all,
man. Yeah, I know. And you were, my brother, JD, was the runt of the litter. He was a skinny, small dude, you know, but he was feisty. You know, he just runs away just to piss off the family. That's how JD was. He was always into something. But what he did was amazing. He wanted to play football, but he was skinny. And it's like, come on, really skinny guy. And he goes, "I'll show you." And he started to eat the protein powder. He went on his diet, started lifting weights, and he started doing a lot of things, and he buffed up my little brother because my job was to watch him because in his mind, he was King Kong. But when you looked at him before he buffed up, he was Barney Fife from Andy and Mayberry. So, but then he started to buff up and everything. When I realized my brother could take care of himself, and anytime you want to jump in, we're in college, and we're playing football at the time, and we happen to be almost on the same team, which is unusual. And at
that
point, yeah, we were. But at that point, they had this thing where you challenge each other. People will challenge each other for boxing.
Yeah.
They just wanted to kick your ass. They wanted to kick your ass. And I said, you know, he got challenged. My brother had a mouth on him like Muhammad Ali. It's like, no, no, calm down. You know, there's big guys going, what are you talking about? And my brother would get on his in a tippy toes. What are you talking about? I go, oh, shit. He goes, no. So I'm thinking if I ignore him, he will calm down, and he doesn't have to get in the ring with this guy. So I try to ignore him, and then all of a sudden I'm hearing, your brother going to be fighting so-and-so. I go, what? Your brother going to be fighting
so-and-so.
I go, what? Yeah.
The big-ass linebacker.
Yeah. The big-ass linebacker who snorts and looked like a bull that you were riding a rodeo. That's how this dude was. Dude was hardly even human. You know, with some, and I'm going, I said, come here, get over here. He goes, what? And, you know, he's all hyper, you know, like Barney Fife with that one bullet. I'm going to leave me alone, Ange. You know, Ellie, I say that because Ellen loves Annie Griffith. And I say, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to take him down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I go, well, who are you? And I go, are you kidding me? What the hell? Okay, I can do it. I go, oh, God. So then I get challenged and everything. So he goes in the room and he gets in the ring. It's like Muhammad Ali. JD is running around the ring, you know, his arm going down. They're cheering for him. I'm sitting there. I'm going next, and I'm cheering. I'm going, oh, I don't want my brother to get hurt. And this big dude comes out of the corner, bell ring. JD comes in, and bam, 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 bam. Dude goes down within 30 seconds. I go, what the hell? And he's over him going, yeah. I'm going, what the hell? And I said, wow, he can take care of himself. And he won. He just took that guy down real quick. I don't know what was going through your mind. I don't know if it was fear or if it was energy. I have no idea. I don't know if it was the energy drink, the powder drink. Huh?
I was thinking of the 400 years of oppression.
400 years of oppression. You look like that slave owner, I know. So that guy went down fast, right? And I'm going, damn. So now he begins to get a reputation. I'm next after him. And so somebody challenged me. And so the guy goes to me, who was supposed to be my culture trainer. He goes, can you fight like your brother? Get out of my face. You know what your brother did? Yeah, I know what he did. Can you fight like him? Shut up.
You can't.
It's like I stepped in the ring and he's still getting carried. You know, they would put him on the back and carry him away as, you know, the conqueror and the hero and everything. They introduced me and going, yeah. One person clapped.
Yeah, I was like the David Goliath.
Yeah, I was. But that's when I knew that he could take care of himself. I was proud of him and everything. But, you know, you grew up to be a great guy. And you lived a life of 31 years behind bars. That's basically what you did. And
yeah.
You know, when you get somebody behind bars, how did you go into that field in the beginning? Because we won't have much time longer. But how did you decide to go there, into that career?
You know, actually, it was, you know, our younger brother had just left the sheriff's department, Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gone there for a few minutes. He actually hated the job, but I knew so many people who were working with him who liked it. Like people mm-hmm. who played at, like SP, Joe Turner, and all these people
right,
who were
right,
there
right.
who were our teammates were playing. So I was thinking,
right.
oh, it's not that bad of a deal. I wasn't really thinking about it. And then Dad tells me, you know what? You work for the government, you get a pension, you don't have to work for
yeah.
the rest of your life. You get to that. And I was like,
yeah.
what do you mean, Pops? He goes, yeah, all you do is work to, 50, 55, and you don't have to work the rest of your life. So I was like,
yeah.
Well, that, you know, because he said if you don't do it that way, you have to be real disciplined, put money away for your retirement, can't touch it
yeah.
and all that stuff. And some people find themselves dipping into the retirement account, and then they have to work until they're like 70 to 75 years old, man. So
yeah.
That's not what I wanted to do. So,
but you
so
did.
I did it. I went through the background was pretty back then was pretty excruciating. It was tough. It was almost
mm-hmm.
like 11 months from the time I submitted my app Then you have to go through criminal background and polygraph. You
right.
have to go through physical agility, a physical and then a mental evaluation. You have to take a psychological test and then meet with a psychologist, and they all have to clear you. And then after that, you get notice to report to an academy. And the academies for the state of California are all up north. So CHP has an academy right next to the Department of Corrections.
So you went through all of it. For the sake of time, you went through all of that. I'm very proud of you. Now, you have come across some well-known names while you were there. Charles Manson, right? Have you heard stories about Charles Manson? And some big name killers you have come across.
Robert Downey Jr. Was it Phil Spector, the Melendez brothers?
Yeah, you came across the Melendez brothers. And
had that woman, Broderick, who killed her husband in San Diego.
Oh, guess what? Guess what? I know her. I know she wrote her book. She sent me her.
Brian.
Yeah, she did, right,
yeah.
Ellen? She sent me her book from prison with love.
she's in Frontier out there. Yeah,
Brian,
she's at CIW in Frontier.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, we had the Manson family.
Yeah, well, I know
we had
the killer, Ellis. Yeah.
Susan Atkins. And you know, Leslie Van Houten just got released last week.
Right. You got some well high-profile criminals now. Let's role play a little bit. I don't want to role play with my brother.
These high profile criminals, do you keep them separated from general population, or are they mixed in?
It depends. Like with the Melendez brothers, they both were separated from each other, and then separated from general pop. They both are now in general pop in our San Diego prison. And one has a husband in the prison now. And,
oh my god!
they wouldn't let, and one was bald. They wouldn't let him keep his hair plugs in, so yeah, he's bald. We also have a lot of people don't know this. Scott Peterson is no longer on death row. He's in Neil Creek.
Oh my god! Really?
He's
not on death row anymore.
No, because Newsom dismantled death row and sent all the death row inmates to the level 4 yards throughout the state. But
Brian,
there is a bounty on.
You know who? You remember who Scott Peterson is, right?
Yeah, I do.
The one who killed his pregnant wife.
Yeah, he killed his wife and his unborn baby and said that she was murdered by somebody else.
Yeah.
And then joined in the search looking for her.
Yeah.
You know?
He needs to be on death row. I'm sorry.
There is a bounty on him. Scott can't go to general pop because there is a bounty on him. All the death row inmates.
I'm sorry.
And another thing,
the
guards are really upset because two of our best institutions were San Quentin because of death row and Pelican Bay because we would house the most dangerous inmates in Pelican Bay, those who have killed guards, those who are, prison gang leaders. So we would keep them in Pelican Bay. The Newsom dismantled Pelican Bay is now like a reception in a level 2 yard. So when you start trying to normalize, violent psychotic behavior, you're going to create situations where these people will be targeted and killed. So far, I can't tell you how many, but at least 30 people from death row have been killed in the level 4 yard.
Wow.
So maybe
indirectly he's saving taxpayers some money. Who knows?
And you live, and I believe that when we work, it's usually our life. Majority of the time that we spend at work, it's majority of the time we're awake. We eat, we socialize. And this is why I think teachers get into trouble, because they try to be the most popular teacher and they have to conform to the lifestyle of the child, because that's their job and the most hours they spend there, and that's why I think they get into trouble. But I'm not going to go into that one. What I want to go into, there's been a discrepancy. Now, I believe you. You have many years as being a correctional officer. You have seen it. And by the way, have you ever ran into anybody who knew me?
Let me think, because I worked in male and female prisons, so I was trying to think of any female.
I'm good in prison.
A couple guards that came across that knew you, but I haven't met any inmates.
That's right.
But there were some people, the names sounded familiar, but they died in prison. Mm-hmm. And they were from the San Gabriel Valley. They were actually high up there in the prison hierarchy in the Mexican mm-hmm. mafia. They were like Joe and David Abasta.
Yeah.
So,
wow. I know them.
Yeah.
I didn't
introduce myself to him, Craig. I was like, no.
I know you didn't, but you know, the legend continues. But let me tell you, there was one
so
guy.
I'm not gonna talk to you, right, so, hold on.
Did you see? There was one guy that I had a little trouble with. He ended up in prison. Did you say there was a time you were working and he asked you by your last name? Was I your brother?
It might have been Hammond. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. We won't go into that. I'm really good with the prisoners. Let me ask you this, because it's a controversy, okay? Everybody wants to know this, and you may have an insight information on this. The truth will, you would tell us the truth, right? Here you go, JD.
Yeah.
Did Epstein kill himself in prison, or was there a controversy? Now, here we go. The guy was in custody. I worked at a juvenile facility at one time. Yeah. You had 30 years experience. Yeah.
You know what the prison community knows what happened? The people in that New York facility knows what happened, because immediately those guards were terminated.
Right.
And
they left their post.
Believe,
that doesn't happen.
We believe that there was a major payoff. Because he had information that would implicate a lot of politicians, a lot of wealthy people, mm-hmm. and someone got to him. And if you ask me, he didn't hang himself. He was hanged.
Really? So you think somebody got? So you don't think it was a suicide thing? You really think it was? It seemed too obvious, right?
I told you that when it happened.
Yeah, you did, Ellen.
Here's the problem. We always have cameras on all our suicide. We have cameras on the guards, and we had cameras on the inmates, so we can make sure that the guards are doing their jobs, they're not falling asleep, they're not passing any contraband or taking anything from the inmates. The inmates are in there with nothing but a smock and a smock blanket that you cannot tie into sheets. Inmates on suicide watch are not giving sheets, T-shirts, or socks.
Right.
Okay?
Damn.
So he was in there with a sheet. So the guard said that he made a mistake, he forgot or did something stupid, had a brain fart, who cares, but gave him a sheet. No.
Mm-hmm.
Three guards went in there, subdued him, put a noose around his neck, fastened the sheet, and hung that dude. And every guard that
this is just a theory that you're saying, because you were not there.
This is speculation.
Uh-huh.
Because every guard that got fired, I'm going to tell you right now, the people in the business, because next to California's prison union, New York is second.
Right.
And they've come to some of our functions. We went to some of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
All those three individuals are no longer with the department, but they are living very well.
Really?
And we don't know where they're getting.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Okay, if that doesn't tell you payoff, I don't know what will.
Really, Ellen?
Well,
I know, because you're spot on in that. Now,
so
you know, if I ever
and they're not
going to
investigate
it,
the reason they're not going to investigate it, then I'll tell you this: the reason you won't see names because it was we were at the time thinking, well, okay, Cuomo's name's in it, you know, the former governor, you know,
right,
the mayor's name may be in it, the current president at the time, you know, Trump's name, Trump hung out with them. Bill Clinton hung out with them.
You know what? They need to have investigated it. Poor dumbass Trump put his ass in jail.
Prince Andrew used to hang out with them.
Prince Andrew, he lost his title.
He lost his throne.
He lost his title because of it.
He's no longer a prince.
Well, I guess the theory is correct. I mean, you proved the theory.
Well,
you know, if I ever go ahead.
I was just saying, if you just watch the people involved, how quickly everything got quiet because another person that hung out with them was the owner of the Patriots, and he had a case pending in Florida, and they dropped that case real quick.
Yeah,
so a lot of people. A lot of people that were connected and involved in this thing got hushed up, but the wild card is this woman that was this you know sidekick who's in jail who could still talk if she wanted to.
Yeah,
and probably,
why didn't she talk?
Probably knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yeah, you're right. She probably knows what really happened. Scared the hell out of her. All right, time is going.
Trump should have pardoned her.
Yeah, I know. You think? Oh, no, that would have been too obvious if Trump pardoned her. That would have been way too obvious that he was involved in some shenanigans. But as time is going, what we're going to do is we're going to put you on speed questions, JD. And these are Ellen and, let's see, the morning crew is not fully here yet, so I have Ellen, who is my executive producer. And I also, former executive producer, but we're going to be working on some projects very soon, and she has an announcement pretty soon. And a world-famous Pat. Pat lives in Canada. She's listening to these stories, and she's saying, you Americans are so sure as crazy. So these are the two people in the studio.
Look, Pat, I know some Canadians, and they're, you know, you guys are crazy, too.
I know. So what we're going to is we don't have much time with JD, but we're going to fire off some questions, five questions. Get your questions ready so when I go to you. Are you ready, JD? Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. I'll start first. Ellen starts second. And Pat, get your questions ready. And JD, do you want Pat's a famous psychic. Remember Montel Williams? And he had that psychic, Sandra Brown?
Yeah.
Well, that was
Sylvia
Montel's psychic. Sylvia Brown, I'm sorry.
Sylvia.
Well, Pat is my psychic. She's been my psychic for how many years, Pat? 10 years?
Eight years.
And she's been spot on. She got some new deck of cards. She told me that I'm going to have some health problems. Huh?
Wait, Brian. Wait.
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that because didn't I find you? I found you on Twitter. I've been knowing Brian since over almost 14 years.
I know, right?
Wow.
Yeah. How long we have the show? And you know what? This is almost the anniversary of the show. How long the show's been on the air, Ellen?
Since I've known you, it's been on for 14 years. But you said that you were on for a couple of years before.
I was on
a couple of years
before you. So this show's
so
been on for
been
good 15 years.
About 16, 17 years.
Yeah. This was our anniversary. So here we go. We're going to fire off some questions to you, JD. And they're going to be fast questions, fast answers, because I see our time's going. I have to get to the Donald Trump thing. You ready? These questions are going to pertain to prison life. What we all want to know about it, the drugs in the prison life, the love in the prison life, the corruption in the prison life. You just heard part of the corruption with... he just told you about the corruption. All right, here we go. My first question. Here we go. JD, ready? We don't have the clock because Ellen's not in the studio. Clock will start. First question. How easy is it for a guard to get involved with an inmate and for that guard to get into a blackmail situation?
Very easy.
Wow. Ellen, I mean, Pat, go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little distracted at the moment.
All righty. Ellen, go.
Okay, JD, have you ever been blackmailed, or has anybody ever tried to blackmail you, or do you know anybody that's been blackmailed?
I've never been blackmailed. They have tried.
Wow. Okay, next question. Here we go. Have you ever been a fan of any of the people who've been incarcerated in your tenure as a correctional officer capacity?
No.
Ellen.
I would like to know, besides Charles Manson, what other serial killers have you come across?
Wow. Funny you should say that. Probably five. Five serial killers in the last 6 months.
Wow.
The Hollywood slasher tried to engage me in a conversation, and I wasn't having it.
Wow.
Really?
Okay, I got another question. What big brother gave you the worst beating of your life? Name him.
Charles.
No, come on, I beat you. I beat you quite a bit. You're gonna give him the credit? Okay.
You had hands. You had that left hand though. It's hard to
all
find.
Right.
That.
You fought back pretty good, though. You were pretty good. All right, Pat, do you have one last question for JD? You can even ask him anything about the family life, or you got one question with the family life you want to know about her family or his professional life.
How many kids are in your family, Brian?
Oh, good question, because I don't even know.
In our family?
Yeah.
The document was... six boys and two girls. Well, and two have passed on.
No, we don't count the other one. But
yes,
it's a good question because we don't know
you
who's going to knock on
blood.
That door. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. But you know, you got to count your blood. And since she lived with us,
was a rolling stone. Whatever he laid his hat was his home.
And that stone gathered some moss.
Yeah, it was six boys, one girl. That's your answer, Pat. Six boys.
Wow,
two girls.
That's a big family.
How
can you keep saying two?
Because I lived with the other one.
But it's not... Okay.
It's good.
All right.
I'm Brian.
The DNA did not come back, right? She was... All right, she was our sister.
It's not her fault that she has our DNA.
I know it's not her fault. Papa was a rolling stone. Last question. You got a beautiful wife, and I'm going to keep her name quiet, her real name. We'll call her Shaniqua. You got a beautiful wife. You got beautiful kids. And I want to thank you for coming on to this show. I don't mean to rush you. We got to talk about this stupid Donald Trump thing. There's people waiting for that. Is there any questions that you want to ask about the show or anything about the show or what's going on or whatever? I can see it. What kind of show is this? I got to change my name again. But is there any kind of question that you want to ask?
No, I think it's a... you know, pretty good forum. I think it, you know, anytime you have an opportunity to discuss various topics and have people that are knowledgeable, I like that. That's good.
Well, you're not getting off that, Rob. We're going to play for charity. This is where we play for make-believe charity. Before you go, we're going to play Password. It's our famous game. Ellen is the champ. We're only going to go three questions on this. Since we don't have five people in the studio, we usually play it. I will say the clues, and you will get it. and let's see how good you are playing games, and then we'll let you go. We're playing for charity or make-believe. We make up make-believe charity. I am playing for blind gophers. There are the Blind Gopher Society. There are many gophers out there that are digging holes in a golf course, and they're blind, and they get their heads chopped off. I think we should save the gophers and screw the golf course. So I'm playing for the Blind Gopher Society. And JD, what are you playing for, or your fake charity?
Crazy. All right. I'm playing for the Crippled Hookers.
The Crippled what?
The
Crippled
Hookers
Society. The Crippled Hookers Society. The Crippled Crippled Whores. Yeah, the Crippled Hoes. You can see where this is coming. We are not right. Playing for the Crippled Hookers Society. You know,
they need to have their own parking.
They do have their own parking. They need that. And for the Crippled Hoes of America, you're really good. That many people are donating money to the Crippled Hoes.
They need to have equal access.
Something wrong with you. Okay. And Ellen, what makeup charity are you playing for?
What charity am I going to play for? Well,
yes.
Let's see. Okay, I'm going to be playing for Dress Up New Orleans Pothole Society.
Oh, really?
What was that for?
Okay.
Yeah, Dress Up the New Orleans Pothole Society. No, actually.
Dress Up the New Orleans Pothole Society. They should have it dressed up. I've been to New Orleans, or I've been to Louisiana, and those potholes are just not dressed right properly.
Brian, in New Orleans, there are a couple of potholes that there's this one pothole in front of this lady's house, and she dresses it up every season.
Wow. Okay, that's
good. I mean, she's got the traffic cone out there, and she dresses up the traffic cone for every season. She's getting ready to dress it up for state season because football is getting ready to start.
Okay, well, you know, you ain't right, but that's a nice thing. Okay, thank you. And Pat, what's your made-up charity, really quickly, that you're paying for?
Oh, gee whiz, I haven't been paying attention for a few minutes. I don't know. Holy moly, you've got me stumped right now.
Well, I can help you. Pat is playing for men who can't get it up. And she's up with life. And she's playing for those poor men who have that dysfunctional... Yeah, Functional Dick Society. And they love Pat. All right, here we go. It's time to play. And let's get our game going on. And here we go. Hey, how you doing? This is your old pal, Weeky D. That's right. It's time to play the game show again. You can call me Weak. You can call me D. And I call me Weeky D. Today, our special guest, we have J.D. He's playing for the Crippled Hoes Society. Yes, there are crippled whores out there all around. They don't get a chance to do what they need to do. And they need their free parking. We want to thank JD for caring about the crippled hoes out there. And then we got Ellen. She went to dress up the potholes in Louisiana. And you know what I'm talking about. You put pot and holes together, you got potholes. Yay! We're out. Now we're dealing with our idea. Pat cares about men. Not so much that there's a lot of men out there who can't get it up. Pat's job is to make sure every man gets an erection as much as they can. Yes, here for Pat with her. The Bunks of Dick Society. Got our game play here and it's time to play. Thank you, everybody. All right, here we go. You know the rules. I will say the clues, and you have three answers to see if you get the answer right, right? Nobody will know.
Okay.
And it's time to play. Right, and here we go. Okay. The champion, by the way, Melissa's not here, but the champion is Ellen, by the way. Nobody has beaten Ellen yet. So she is our reigning champion. Right, Ellen?
Yay.
And it's time to play.
Yep.
Time to play. There we go.
You bet your ass.
All right. I'm going to start with JD. I'm going to put him in my privates. Nobody, he won't be able to hear the clue. He won't be able to hear anything. and they want to bring him out. Okay, JD, you're going into private. Here we go. Oops, sorry, that's not JD. Sorry, I'm used to having you in my private, Pat. Okay, let me put JD in my private. Okay, here we go. JD, you go in my private. Here we go. All right. The password is bully. Bully is the password.
God.
All right, let's bring JD out. Everybody else heard the password, but JD, he was in the private. All right, I'm going to give you three clues. If you can't get the first one, just say next clue. Here we go. First clue. You ready, JD?
Yeah.
First clue. Oh, God, this is hard. Taunting. Taunting.
Muhammad Ali?
You already went to Muhammad Ali. Okay, Muhammad Ali. No. No. Okay. Second clue. Here's the button. Okay. That's for you. Second clue. Kids. Remember your two clues. Kids. Taunting kids.
Ooh, high school bully?
Whoa. Wait a minute. Form of the word?
Bully?
One word. Out of that sentence, one word.
Bullies?
Huh? Yes!
Yep.
You got it right! Whoa! Yeah!
If I would have got a chance to say something, I would have said Karate Kid. What was the theme of
right.
that?
He's going to run you for your money. We only got two questions. Okay, you're going into my privates, Ellen. Here you go. Ellen's going into my privates. The password is tits. Tits. She cannot hear me. Tits. All right, here we go. Ellen's back in the studio. All right, you ready for your first clue?
Sure.
Breasts. Breasts.
Oh,
chickens. Chicken breasts. I don't know who you've been hanging around with. Okay. No. Second word, silicone.
Breast implant.
No.
What?
No. Okay. Last clue, slang. Slang.
Hi there.
Hit. What?
Oh,
yes!
Sorry.
Wow!
They were up there for a reason.
Wow! That's why she's a champ.
Sorry.
Okay, here you go, Pat. Pat's busy for a minute, so we'll hold on. The score is 1-1. My brother is hanging on, but Ellen is just too good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bypass Pat because she's talking right now. Pat, whenever you can chance.
No,
don't be sorry at all. This is live radio. Would you like a moment and I can mute you so nobody can hear, or are you ready to play?
I need a moment.
Okay, I'm going to mute you, Pat, but I'm going to come back to you. All right, then we're going to go back to my brother, and we're going to put him in the private. Here we go. Oops, that's Ellen. Oh, I'm used to having Ellen in my private, so that doesn't work. I'm going to put my brother in the private. Where did he go? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's my brother. Here you go. All right, here we go. The password is butthole.
Oh,
butthole
God.
Is the password. Let's see if you get it. Or booty hole. Booty hole, butthole, same. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Tushy.
Ass.
No, you've been in the lockup too long. No. All right, second one. Second one, you're on the same, you're on the thing. Warrior. Tushy warrior.
The booty warrior.
Booty, you're almost there. Booty, you know what? I'm going to give it to him.
The booty bandit.
Go ahead.
The booty,
yes.
The booty bandit.
Yes. That's two. Ellen, he's rocking your world. Are you ready? You can't be beaten by my brother. Here we go. Here we go. I got Ellen in private. The password is hair. Hair. That's it. Just hair. All right. Here we go. Ellen's now in his studio. Here we go. Here we go. Head. Uh-oh. Ellen, head.
Bone.
Uh-huh.
Dick.
Huh? What?
Dickhead.
What? Dick?
Dickhead. Yeah.
No, not dickhead. Oh. All
okay.
Right. Wig. Wig. Wig.
Hair.
There you go. You went right to the dick. You went right to the dick. All right, this is two of the two. This is it. This is it. Ellen is a champ, but JD, here we go. I'm putting him right into the privates. Here we go. The password is belt. B-E-L-T. Belt. Belt. All right, we're bringing JD
okay.
back into the studio. Here we go. All right, here we go. First clue, waist. Waist.
Trash.
Wait. Ah, good guess. No. Okay. Here we go. Strap. 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 What? I didn't hear you.
Tell the word you're saying.
Strap, S-T-R-A-P, S-T-R-A-P.
Oh, okay, waist and strap.
Yeah.
Trash bag?
No. Okay, here we go, last clue. Here we go. Buckle.
Oh.
Buckle.
Oh, I got it.
Go
buckle?
Ahead. Buckle?
Buckle. You said buckle?
Buckle.
Hold on, man. Hold on.
Buckle. You got it.
Buckle, strap, wait, diaper?
Oh, God. Buckle a diaper.
I a diaper. How do you strap on a diaper? What's going on with you? It's
well,
a belt.
Diaper
and it's a diaper? I hate to ask
you
how
waist.
You... Yeah, but you don't
belt.
Strap
oh.
on a diaper.
Oh.
How do you strap on a diaper?
You're saying waist. You're saying
waist,
waist like...
Oh, W-A-I-S-T, not W-A-S-T-E.
Yes, yeah, you got to spell
W-A-I-S-T.
Yeah,
right.
You got to spell it. You got to spell it. You
right.
had me on a goose chase.
Quick.
I'm thinking...
We got to go to our judges. Do we waiting. Give him another shot? Wait a minute. We got to go to the judges. Judges, what do you say? Another
waist.
Shot? Sorry.
What you got, some judges?
I'm going to call security on your ass. Whack it, mister. Don't get weak all upset. All right, here we go. Ellen, your last clue.
Yes.
Your last clue. All right. Vagina. Vagina. Let's make it hard on her. Okay. All right.
You make it hard
this
on
for the
vagina.
Win. Go, ah! She's in the studio now. I can't use vagina anymore.
What?
See, that was your clue, vagina. All right. I mean, that was,
okay.
Let me put you back. Let me put you back. Okay. Okay. Chicken. Chicken. Chicken is her. All right. This is for the win. Here we go. Here we go. Louisiana's.
New Orleans?
Okay, not bad, not bad. Fried?
Beignet.
Huh?
Beignet?
Fried beignet. No. I'll kick your ass out of the studio. Legs.
What? Crawfish?
Legs. Crawfish. Okay. Well, it's going to end up in a tie. I thought it was going to be a flop. It was chicken. Louisiana fried chicken. Legs.
Oh, you mean Popeye? Well, if you would have said, okay, if you would have said Popeyes.
But Louisiana has fried chicken. I'm sorry. All right. Well,
yeah,
that's it for the game.
You
angry contestant. Well, that's it for the show. As you can tell, we got the rip rap in. We had to dig really low to bring that content to these studio content people. They're ungrateful people. See you next time on Hopper. I am your host, Wiki Dink. And I'm going to the prison to see if I have one of those trailer moves. You know what I mean? I forgot what they call it. Did you visit? Conjugal visit. Where I'm going. One question, JD, do you have to be married to have a conjugal visit? Can you be girlfriend or boyfriend or engaged or fiancé?
No. And a good story, I was in San Quentin a few months ago, and they were checking in people for their conjugal visit, and a mother came in.
Yeah, I like this story.
And they're saying, excuse me. And they said, there's no laws stopping me from seeing my son for the weekend. And she had a whole bunch of condoms on there. So whatever baby wants, baby gets. So she went there to have sex with her redneck son.
Oh, my.
So,
can
no,
you
don't
imagine?
Have to be married.
Not to be married. Well, you must be, at least it has to be one of your parents will let you in. My God. Can you imagine your mother coming in with conjugal? Oh, God. Well, JD, we have a parting gift for you. We have a coupon that you can use at any topless bar. And go in there and show your coupon, and they'll give you the respect that you should deserve. Maybe you get a lap dance with skid marks on your knee. I don't know.
That's exciting.
Thank you, JD. Thank you for coming and say hello to your lovely wife, Shaniqua. I do care. Thank you for coming.
All right.
You have fun. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my real brother, JD. I'm so proud of him. I'm really proud of him. Thank you, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Trump impeached twice, indicted twice. And he may be your president.
Three times.
He may be.
Three times. Yep.
Not yet.
Why?
Not yet.
He'll probably be this week.
I know. It's a shame. We're going to talk about that. And here's some stuff that they cut for the hammer. Listen to this.
Hello there. Hey, this is George Bailey. You know, even right here in Bedford Falls, when we want to get our crazy on, we listen to Hammer 96.7 weekdays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Brian the Hammer Jackson, and his lovely assistant, Ellen Johnson.
That's right. That's George Bailey from what is it? What is that falls? From Bedford Falls?
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. They even listen to us and know It's a Wonderful Life. There you go.
Yeah,
and what was the other group of Vida Loca? What was it? Iron Butterfly, right? Let me see if I got that.
Yeah.
Iron. Do I have that? Iron.
You
did. Larry Ross.
Huh?
You got to look under Larry Ross.
Oh, is it under Larry? Oh, Larry. I miss you in the studio, Ellen. You kept me on my toes. Ellen, when you used to call the show, you hear Ellen's lovely voice. Hello, this is Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Can I have your name, please? How do you answer the phone, Ellen, when people call in? Well, I find that.
I would say, welcome to the Brian the Hammer Jackson Show. Can I have your name?
Yes.
About letting you into the studio if I like you.
Yeah, I know. I go, Ellen, what happened to him? Look, I don't know. They had an attitude. Go, Ellie, that was our guest. I don't give a shit. You go ahead and you just kind of improv for 3 hours. You go ahead, Hammer. I'm going to go have a drink. Here you go.
Hello, my name is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, 1999 to 2005. And when I want to listen to great talk radio, I listen to Brian the Hammer Show on BT Radio.
That's right. Look at that. What do you think of that, JD? I got a lot more.
That's good. That's good, man.
Yeah. But you know what? It was great to have you on. You're one of my best guests. It was great. I'm sorry we didn't have much time to go into the stories because we got Donald Trump waiting in the background. You know how Donald Trump gets. He gets a little antsy. So I had to do that. Yeah. Thanks for waking up so early. We're going to talk a little later. And welcome back home. Everybody, let's give JD a say goodbye, Alan and Pat. Oh, Pat, wait.
Bye.
Hey, JD, do you want your tarot card reading? Do you want that? Because we're in the middle of mine.
No.
Do you want that? She's really good.
No.
You don't. Why?
I like to be surprised.
You will be surprised. Come on. Come on. You believe in ghosts? You believe in ghosts?
Go
Come
ahead.
On. Okay, go ahead. Okay, we're going to get the reading. He's all nervous and everything. Pat?
He doesn't want one.
Jump on them cards.
He Pat? Doesn't want one.
Yes, he does. Say you want one, JD. Come on.
All right, go ahead.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on.
Can you dig it?
Yeah. You're a brave man. She's going to read you. She has read many celebrities, including me. I call her my personal psychic. She's spot on. When she's not drinking or smoking weed, she's pretty much accurate.
I don't drink.
I know, just the weed. Go give it to him, Smokey. Okay, she's going to read you.
Okay,
you have to talk to her. You have
to
say something to her.
I need to
hear
her voice a bit.
Yeah, she has to hear your voice.
Need
so I'm going to be quiet.
Voice.
Go ahead, JD. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Talk about the weather, anything.
No, it's really hot out here, so that's easy to talk about. I'm getting ready to hit the gym, so hopefully I don't pass out, but yeah.
Yeah, it's you really mean, hard when it's hot like that.
Yeah. So, anything else you need me to say?
No, I think I've got it.
Okay.
This should be interesting. The tension is mounting, Miss Pat.
Yes, I imagine it is.
Yes.
Okay, so it starts out with great fortune, and he's a wealthy man, and he's married.
Who?
But there is poverty around you, somebody older and a mature woman in the community or in your family that needs help.
My brother's hanging out with a poor woman who's in need?
No, there's a mature woman, so it could be
mature
family.
Oh, mature woman. Will you hang around with an old woman who don't have no money? Okay, go ahead.
And then there's because he's working with legalities and he's working in the with convicts, I think the courthouse card is coming up because of that.
Right.
But he has to watch out for around his home. There is either going to be a thief or there's somebody going to be coming after his wife wanting her attention.
Somebody wants my wife's attention?
Yep, apparently.
Some jiggle. Mm.
It doesn't
gigolo.
Mean she's going to react. It doesn't mean
she's not.
Anything.
She's a good
it
woman.
Just,
she's my sister-in-law. So just tell us who he is and me and my brother will go over his house and pay him a visit. You know what I'm saying, Pat?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
Anything else?
No, that was about it, because you know, I didn't want to get into some of the things I was seeing. Like, it's this card deck is, I'm trying to get used to it still, Brian.
Well, JD, ask her about a couple of questions that you may, like health questions or love questions or finance questions.
Well, what did you say?
What about my health?
Your health. I could try that. I usually do that with the tarot cards. Let me get another deck.
All right. Well, she's getting another deck. If you listen to the show earlier, she says my health was not the best in the world, and that I'm going to cheat on my girlfriend. I love Pat. You know? Bowl of sunshine. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to see the day that you cheat.
I know, right? I'm too afraid to. That woman is evil.
Yeah.
What was?
My girlfriend's a psychic. She knows when I'm going to cheat, and she stops me before it happens, and she kicks my ass. Don't even think about it. Okay. She's a psychic.
Yeah,
go ahead, Pat.
I'm working on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is for your brother, right?
This is for my brother, and he wants to know about his health, Pat.
Okay. Okay. Just give me 1 second.
Okay. I will stall time for while Pat takes her time, and so we don't have dead air. It's been a long time, Ellen. You mean I've been on the air for that long, for over 12
mm-hmm.
years? Seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And I've been doing the same
thing.
But I have great ratings. I have over 69 million people listening to me. How's that? That's not bad, is it?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
How many?
69 mil.
Wow.
Over. It's not really that much if you think it's around the world. I mean, Italy, Canada, we have just spiked 20% in the rating market. Italy, we spiked 35%. Germany, we're still at 2.1% of the market. So we're not doing that bad. North Korea, by the way, spiked us to 15%.
Okay, and when you think about how many people are in each of these countries, 2.1% in Germany is not bad.
It's not bad, right? Wow.
No.
There you go. There you go, you Germans.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Now, you're going to give...
Are you having problems with your back?
Problems with my back?
Yeah.
Well, a little, not major. Just a little pain.
Say hi, Daddy.
Okay, and the other thing that's showing up is possibly circulation or nervous system problems.
Interesting.
But it's nothing else is really showing up as serious.
Okay. Yep.
Now, Pat, that's not, any other questions, JD? How about family? Is it going to be any family problems going on? Well, you would have to ask her.
Well,
that,
I have to shuffle again.
Yeah.
Just a second.
He has one more question to ask you. While you're shuffling to Buffalo, we will talk again. People want to know why I started the show. I don't know. Quit asking. Quit being nosy. What we're going to do... That's why we used to have sponsors. Remember that, Ellen? And it's like,
yeah
we got great sponsors. It's 4 minutes. I promise, I have another brother, I think, I'm hoping he's listening or he's not bored by now, but he was wondering about the Howard Stern prank and why Pat shuffles a cart. JD, have you heard when Howard Stern pranked our show? Have you heard that tape? I think you heard it. You heard it.
It's been a while. I'm not sure if I remember it, though.
Okay, I'm going to play it. It's a short one. I'm going to play it while Pat is shuffling for your next question. Here it is, Howard Stern. You know, when we do our show, we have categories. And this particular category was about religion. We're not a religious show. He thought it was a religious show. It was just the category we're talking about that day. And here it is. And you'll hear, Ellen, were you on the show that day? Because you were quiet.
Yes, I was.
Okay, so here it is. The one that you want to listen to is Melissa and Stanley, who are, Stanley goes, what? What? Which is funny, but Melissa was very funny. Here we go. Howard Stern Show pranking Brian and Hammer Jackson Show.
Who am I? Dostoevsky? What is this? Hey, you guys want to hear a good phony phone call?
Sure.
This is fucking hardcore. It's really great. The boys took my voice and had me call into a religious internet show. Keep in mind that it's a religious show because I sound like I'm insane. So without further ado, here is your phony phone call for the day. Enjoy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Are you going to church, Laverne? Are you going to go to service on Sunday?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Hold on, kiddo. Hold on. Hello, 337.
Hi. It's Howard.
Hi.
Yesterday, this song was stuck in my head. I don't know the lyrics, but I can't remember who does this song. You could probably help me out.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have first time you came on the show. I'm sure you didn't come on the show to play Name That Tune.
I'll sing it for you.
All right. Let's give it a shot. Go ahead.
Really. Take it to the mountain, mountain.
Well,
take
it's
it, take
okay.
it
you're
to the
attraction.
Wow. You have to sing a little bit more for me.
Whoa.
You have to sing a little.
You can take it to the mountain, mountain.
You have to sing a little
you
bit more.
You can jump into the fire, but you'll never be free. No.
I don't.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa. You know it. Of course you know it.
I don't remember that song, so that song is stuck in your head, huh?
Yes. Hello?
Wait a minute. Wait. First of all,
you can take it to the mountain, mountain.
I know what song you're. I know what you're talking about.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, they played part of it in Goodfellas.
What?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
No.
Driving from the
blah,
helicopter.
Blah 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 blah. I've had it.
Wow.
He's upset. He's
all right. Shut up.
Come on. You're not.
Fuck you.
Wait a minute.
See,
I hate you.
Come on.
You fuck.
What kind of thing
is this? Well, first of all, you are a cunt.
Oh, hey, not on Easter.
Shut up, you fuck.
Hey.
You fucking fat cunt.
Oh, cunt. Oh, Jesus, help
get
me.
Off my phone.
You called me.
Who is this? Who's the caller?
Oh, you fucking asshole.
How dare you?
This is a religious show.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Fuck
wrong.
You. Suck my dick.
Jesus.
That's really inappropriate.
Where were we?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
Wait a minute, hold on. Do we have Howard back?
What?
You're live on the air, 317. You're live on the air.
You can swim into the sea. Oh.
Are we going to go through this whole thing?
Fuck you!
No,
oh, my God.
Cunt, I hate you.
Jesus. All right. Whew, enough of that. What?
You're getting trolled, Brian.
What was that?
I know.
That's a crazy person.
Well, it's that Howard guy.
Go ahead, beautiful. You were making a comment. Go ahead. What was your comment?
About oh, my God. I lost my train of thought.
I mean, you know.
I'm shocked with that.
Crazy.
That's a crazy phone call, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're trying to talk to you.
Robin. Whoa.
You cunt.
Oh, my God. That's that Nielsen song, Harry Nielsen.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There you go. For those of you who did not hear that show, here you go. He played that. I heard that he played that like four or five times on his show that day. There you go. Out of all the shows, he came to ours.
What? Yeah, you know what, Brian? It's giving you exposure.
Yeah, it is. Well, he didn't mention us, but that the dirty bastard. All right, back to the cards. My brother asked
back
about...
Back to the cards, you ready?
Okay, well, what's the question my brother asked? Okay.
Okay, about family and stuff. So it says there's success. Then the card beside that is success as well. There's your brother, and it shows subconsciously his wishes have been coming true, that he's basically on line with what he wants and where he's going. His relationship looks good. He has to learn from the past about making that succeed, and there's a possibility of a change of residence. There's also a bit of depression going on, but I don't think it's your brother. It might be a kid. And
that's pretty good.
There's major changes, but success and happiness.
Okay. Is that translating to wealth?
Pardon?
Does that translate into wealth? Happy finances?
I don't see a lot of new money, but I see success, and success, if that's your symbol of success, then yes.
Okay. But
it depends on how you view the word.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, just to let you know, I do have a son who's going through major depression. And I do have issues with circulation, cramping, but it's under control. But there you go. Yes.
So this one made sense?
Yeah.
Good. Because you're going to have a nice bit of life. There's some changes coming, but it's not going to be bad.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was using the other cards, but it kept coming up with the jail card. So because of where you work. I packed in those cards because they didn't want to talk about anything else, so I went to the tarot cards again.
Well, I want to thank you for reading my...
Did it show me as an officer or an inmate?
It showed you as being in jail, but not as in which way.
Is this...
But not as
a
what?
Not as
not
an
as
inmate,
an
no.
Not as
oh,
an
okay,
inmate.
That's
good.
That's
good. No.
Well, Pat, thank you for reading my brother and these happy thoughts, even though you read me and said that I was going, my health is failing and I was going to die. You know, I had Pat read me
once. I didn't say that.
I had Pat read me once. And I go, how's my future? She goes, the only thing I have for you is go to the light. I go, what? Go to the light. What's going on with the light? That's a great Pat there. Hey, you know what? We have a special guest listening, and I won't say who it is. It's my big brother that he doesn't want to come on the air, but I just want to mention how much I love him. He came on the air because he did hear about the Howard Stern prank. So if you guys can indulge me one more time, I want to play that for him, if you guys don't mind, okay?
Okay.
Right? I just played it, but he just came on just now, and he missed it. And I want to play it. I want to thank JD for coming on the air, telling us about the prison experience and the reading that he got.
Thank you.
And Ellen, say goodbye to JD. Pat?
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Okay. Thanks, JD. I'll talk to you later. I'll give my love to the family. God, I love my family so much, my little brother I didn't get the files for him. But I do. I want to thank Pat for her cannabis reading. And it's time to get on a canna bus, if you know what I mean. There you go. Here's Pat and her canna bus. There you go, Pat. I'm going to play
the... if you got your funky bus, bam.
Get to the...
Double dust bus coming down the street.
Canna bus bus.
Moving dirty.
Pat, you know what? I'm gonna pay you in weed, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
All right. Right here, I'm going to go to my farm, and I got a patch right there, you know. Give me the good stuff.
It has Pat's name on it.
It has her name on it. It's guarded by skunks. Give her the good stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play that. Ellen, when we were on the air, when Howard Stern people pranked us, what was going through your mind when this was happening? Because they got me. I had no idea. Did you know it was a prank?
Look, yeah, I knew it was a prank because, you know, he, if you remember correctly, he also came back and was talking about his book. And I went and looked it up, and he really did have a book coming out.
Yeah, that's right. He had a second book coming out. That's what he was promoting. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is for my big brother, and I love him so much. Say hello to my big brother, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. We had a big studio. And don't say too much. My big brother is a lady man. If you listen to his voice, you guys would melt and forget all about me. That's what happens there. He's in ladies, man. That's right. The ladies love him. In fact, we call him my big brother, LL Cool J. The lady love him. Howard. So, yeah, I didn't get it. Here it is again. I know you heard it, but here he is again. Howard Stern pranked our show. Pranks Brian. Here we go.
Who am I? Dostoevsky? What is this? Hey, you guys want to hear a good phony phone call?
Sure.
This is fucking hardcore. It's really great. The boys took my voice and had me call into a religious internet show. Keep in mind that it's a religious show because I sound like I'm insane. So without further ado, here is your phony phone call for the day. Enjoy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Are you going to church, Laverne? Are you going to go to service on Sunday?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Hold on, kiddo. Hold on. Hello, 337.
Hi, it's Howard.
Hi.
Yesterday, this song was stuck in my head. I don't know the lyrics, but I can't remember who does this song. You could probably help me out.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have first time you came on the show. I'm sure you didn't come on the show to play Name That Tune.
I'll sing it for you.
Oh, all right. Let's give it a shot. Go ahead.
Take it to the mountain. Take it to the
Wow. You have to sing a little bit more for
me.
You have to sing a little.
You can take it to the mountain.
You have to sing a little bit more.
You can jump into the fire, but you'll never be free. No.
I don't.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa, you know it. Of course you know it.
I don't remember that song, so that song is stuck in your head, huh?
Yes. Hello?
Wait a minute. Wait. First of all,
you can take it to the mountain.
I know what song you're... I know what you're talking about.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, they played part of it in Goodfellas.
What?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
No.
Driving from the
blah,
helicopters?
Blah, 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 blah. I've had it.
Wow.
He's upset. He's
all right. Shut up.
Come on, you're not.
Fuck you.
Wait a minute.
See,
I hate you.
Come on.
You fuck.
What?
What kind of thing is this?
Well, first of all, you are a cunt.
Oh, hey, not on Easter.
Shut up, you fuck.
Hey.
You fucking fat cunt.
Oh, come on. Oh, Jesus, help me.
Get off my phone.
You called me.
Who is this? Who's the caller?
Oh, you fucking asshole.
How dare you?
This is a religious show.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh,
my God.
Fuck you. Suck my dick.
Jesus.
That's really inappropriate.
Where were we?
Do you remember that part of Goodfellas when he was running in the helicopters?
Wait a minute, hold on. Do we have Howard back?
What?
You're live on the air, 317. You're live on the air.
You can swim into the sea. Oh.
Are we going to go through this whole thing?
Fuck you.
Oh,
no,
my God.
Bad.
Cunt, I hate you.
Jesus. All right. Whew, enough of that. What?
You're getting trolled, Brian.
Hey, what was that?
I know.
That's a crazy person.
Well, it's that Howard guy.
Go ahead, beautiful. You were making a comment. Go ahead. What was your comment?
About the Jesse. Oh, my God. I lost my train of thought.
I mean, you know.
I'm shocked with that.
Crazy.
That's a crazy phone call, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it, too.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're trying to talk to you.
Robin. Whoa.
You cunt.
You cunt. Oh, my God. That's that Nielsen song, Harry Nielsen.
Yeah.
And there you go. And that's what happened. That's what happened. At all the shows that he pranked us, out of all the shows he pranked us. So I think that was a compliment. I know some of his writers are listening and blah, 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 blah. You know. So it's a compliment.
Sure.
We have had people on this show. And Ellen mentioned some of the great, great legends in rock and roll that I have sang with on this show. Are you impressed, Pat? Are you impressed? I was singing with Iron Butterfly and England Dan and John Forcoli and the rest of it and all these people. Yeah, I can see the excitement just pouring out right now. Yeah, that's it. She gets excited internally. Pat doesn't really express herself as much, but I can feel it. I can feel it. Yeah. We're going to talk. I want to thank my brother again, JD, for calling in and talking about prison life. And some of you listeners will be involved in that life soon, and you just got to know how to cope with it. You will.
Trump might beat you.
Trump, and that brings us to Donald Trump. You know, I don't understand this. You couldn't even get a job at Walmart if you had this kind of record. You know, you're indicted twice. You're impeached twice. The only job you can get is the most powerful job in the world, and that's running for president of the United States. And he just might win. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to play some stuff. My brother's going to have to – he's going to work out and everything, and I was trying to entertain the show, but I got to do what I got to do. Here's DeSantis. You know, the Republicans are cowards. And I don't – see, I think Donald Trump is a traitor. He's a traitor to the United – he hates America. Every time he talks about America, it's always in a bad position. Even his slogan, Make America Great Again, he's not happy how it is. I mean, you got people at the Capitol storming the Capitol, and he was smiling like he was like a dictator. I mean, he hates America, hates everything about it. He hates the Constitution. He wanted to change the Constitution. He just recently said that he wants to obliterate. Help me out, Ellen.
Obliterate.
That's
obliterate.
Right. Blow it up. He wants to blow up our judicial system. He wants you to be mad at our FBI, saying they're crooks and they're on the take. He wants you to get rid of the CIA and don't believe him and forget about the press. The press is fake news. It's nothing but fake news. He's the only one that can save us. But there's one thing I like about Donald Trump is that he never admits his fault. And I don't know, it's an art that you could deny shit and then make shit come true. Like, for instance, Ellen could see me stealing, and I could go like this. I could go, you know, Ellen, you're there. I go to your house. You invite me to your house. I'm in there, and you got your good silverware, right? We're going to have dinner. I go into your drawers, and you say, go ahead, Ellen, what are you doing in my drawers? Like, come on, just, you know, ask me about your drawers. Go ahead.
What are you doing? Why are you in my drawers?
I'm in here. I'm looking at the good silverware. I'm a guest. I deserve the best. You're giving me the plastic shit. And it says Kentucky Fried Chicken. I want some silverware. Is that so much? Is that so much to ask that I can get the good silverware? Here, let me put this spoon in my pocket so I don't forget to have your good silverware, and I can think of you when I'm taking the plane ride home to California. So I'm just going to take a knife. I'm going to take a fork. I'm going to take this gold thing in there, and I'm going to put it in my pocket, and I'm going to think of you on my ride home. What do you think?
I'd kill you.
That's it. That's it. You could turn crap into crap. And people have such weak minds is that this guy is so good to – have you ever been with a person that you know they did wrong, but they convince you did not see what you saw? I have been with women like that. It was – I have come home, and I have had a woman who was drunk and everything, and there was a strange man in there, and she convinced me he was his brother, her brother, even though she was white and he was black. And I said, you guys look alike. That's how good she was. Maybe she did have a black brother. Who am I to say anything about that? Right? But there are people, and Donald Trump is like that. Here's DeSantis. Now, this fool is trying to be better than Donald Trump. But he's sinking like a dead weight. Listen to, this is DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, and he's trying to explain why Trump should not be indicted for the capital offense. Here he is.
How he was in the White House and didn't do anything while things were going on. He should have come out more forcefully, of course that. But to try to criminalize that's a different issue entirely. And I think that we want to be in a situation where, you know, you don't have one side just constantly trying to put the other side in jail. And that, unfortunately, is what we're seeing now. So there's, someone had whispered this to me, so I'm sure I'll have a chance to look at this in the future, depending on the development.
Now, he's sweating when he's saying that. And he's saying you don't want one side putting the other side. Hey, I do want one side putting the other side in prison if they did something against the law. That's what our judicial system is about. I have no idea why these people, these Republican cowards, are not standing up to Trump. But I do have an idea. Because Trump is a moneymaker. Whatever you say about Trump, he makes money. Money talks here. You know, his slogan, Make America Great Again. Because he's not satisfied how it was. Everything about America is bad. Pelosi, the Democrats, the DOJ, everything's rigged. The election. You can't even believe that. Let's storm the White House, the Capitol. I mean, he's doing everything a traitor would do. To take away, we're in a republic, but he's taken away the democracy. And we see it. And what I don't like is the Democrats who are whining and crying. Shut up. You know, you got to step back and take a look at this. It sounds like the Democrats are scared of Trump. They're terrified of this 78-year-old man who lives in Florida that he has to buy his wife, his little porn wife, that he has to give her money. She lives on the other side of the compound, by the way. And they're terrified of this guy. This is what it seems like to me. Ellen, Pat, doesn't it seem like they're terrified of this guy? They're terrified.
No.
No?
Okay.
Nobody's scared of Trump.
Yeah, they are. The Republicans are afraid of him. They are. He'll
well, for reasons yeah. of security.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Okay. If you want to look at it like that, then yeah, everybody's afraid of him, Brian, because he could. Do you realize the damage that he could do to this country if he's elected president again? He could, you know, everybody will know what we're doing.
Well, see, you don't understand. You got to think beyond the think tank. Trump can't do shit. See, it's not about the – here's where he has your mind, and he can mess up your mind, and you got to strengthen your mind. Trump can't do shit if we keep the House and we keep the Senate. So we're not worried about Trump. Let Trump be Trump. But if you vote for your congressman or your senator, that puts Trump in place. He can't do shit. You know what I mean? He can't do shit. So it's not so much the presidency that's at hand here, and the Republicans want you to keep Donald Trump there. They want him in the spotlight because it scares the Democrats, and they're focusing on Trump. Trump ain't shit. What you got to worry about is taking back the House and taking back the Senate. That's where the election, that's where the power is. Because once you take it back, Trump can't do anything with the House. He'll be a lame duck president if he makes it. And the problem that I have is Biden. I mean, I like young Biden, but old Biden makes me cringe. And I've seen old Biden fall down going up the steps. And I see old Biden when he lifts his leg up and he's trying, and it takes him a while to get to the microphone, and then he kind of stutters, and it's all right. Even that's better than Trump. But Biden just has to just lay low a little bit, don't move, and just lay low for about another year. But he has done wonderful things. It wasn't for Biden. I'm going to tell you something. My health system, Biden has done a lot for this America, and I wish people wake up and see what he's trying to do. And these Republicans, stop trying to, just because you're a Democrat, go after each other. This is Donald Trump right here. You tell me, ladies, tell me if you're going to vote for him. Donald Trump is still after Biden. And he's saying that Biden has a crime family and this and this and this, but we're not going to talk about this. Here's Sean Hannity. Now, 5 minutes, and he's talking to Donald Trump. Here, and you tell me if it changes your mind about Donald Trump, do you want to vote for him? Here it is, Sean Hannity.
Tech companies telling them, according to Joel Roth, the former Twitter integrity site head, telling them that it might be about Joe or Hunter. That laptop story got censored. The American people were denied the truth about what would be a bombshell story.
And by the way, it still is censored because they haven't really gotten into the meat with all of the great reporting done, and there has been some great reporting done. Generally speaking, the press is fake. It's fake, and it's just horrible, actually. But there's still been some great reporters and great reporting done, and you are at the lead. You've been incredible. But when you look, but John, when you look at that, they haven't even gotten to the bottom of the laptop. They don't want to put the pictures in. They don't want to. They have pictures in there that anybody else, they go away for 10 years. What happened to Hunter is he got a traffic ticket. Other people are being sentenced to many years in jail for doing much less. He got a traffic ticket. The only good thing is the people know it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Now, Jim Jordan and Jamie Comer, these guys are doing a great job. But the problem is you find out the crime, but nothing happens with it. Instead, they go after you. Like, for example, Hillary Clinton's home wasn't raided.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's garage wasn't raided. The UPenn Center wasn't raided. The University of Delaware wasn't raided. His home, beach home, I don't know how he affords a beach home on a senator's salary, that wasn't raided. Hunter Biden is being protected, obviously. Cocaine in the White House, 10-day investigation.
Cocaine in the White House. Cocaine in the White House. Cocaine in the White House.
Yeah, all right.
Hillary Clinton was not raided. No, because Hillary Clinton spent about 5 years. You guys, about 5 years, 5 hours. You remember the was the Benghazi case, or the when she was up there for hours and days when they were drilling her about Benghazi? You guys remember that? Of course, she was not raided because she came there to him. She didn't even have to be raided. I think you're raided only because you lie to the government and say, you know what, I really don't have any documents. Are you sure? No, I don't have any documents. And then we have to get a warrant. You only get raided when you lie to the government, when you lie to the FBI, when you lie to the country, when you lie to America. Then you happen to get raided. That's when you get raided. Of course, Biden didn't get raided. Hillary didn't get raided. None of those people got raided. But you only raid Trump because he's hiding in Florida and he's putting documents in boxes. Yes. And Trump's talking about crime. Well, you know, they got laptop full of evidence and they didn't arrest Biden's son and everything. Well, they did know about the evidence that Biden has. And guess what? It was a misdemeanor. He did pay for his crimes. It was a misdemeanor. But it's not like, you know, Biden went to a shopping mall and went into a dress store and raped somebody. I mean, who would do that? Oh, I'm sorry. Trump did, didn't he? sorry.
Yeah, and he had to pick that woman for that shit too.
Right. He didn't go to jail. He didn't even get a speeding ticket for sexual assault. I don't know. Let's see. Well, it's not like he paid a porn star for blackmail money. I mean, who would do that? And while your wife just had a baby, and, I mean, you're paying her over $1,000. What woman's hoo-ha is worth over $100,000? If you show me a woman's hoo-ha that's worth $100,000, guess what? I would take a second mortgage out of my home just to see what this golden hoo-ha looks like. But who would do that? Pay a hooker when your wife just had a baby. Oh, I've got – oh, it's Trump. Oh, I see. And he didn't get arrested for that. It was that's a criminal
right.
act.
He doesn't understand the reason why he's being indicted for the crime against our country. And, you know, he's so delusional.
We are dealing with a delusional man. He just made a statement not too long ago.
People want that back in the White House.
I don't – well, you know what it is, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It comes down to this. Forget about all the other crimes Trump has done. I'll tell you what it is. It's all about greed in this country. It's all about money. If you got the money, you got the money, we got the greed. That's what it's about. Trump raises money. Trump is the only one I know that can raise money on sexual assault. Well, Mr. Ex-President, we have you, you know, on there's rumors that you raped this woman in the drugstore or in the dressing. Not true. Well, she said you did, and we have your DNA. You're on camera with giving a thumbs up, and you're wearing your MAGA hat and saying, "Make America Great Again." Was that you? Nope. Oh, okay, sorry. But we have this guy doing these things, but guess what? He will go to his donors and campaign on that. He looks for this shit, and he does it all the time. Last time he raised over $7 million off of help me, with my lawyers so I could fight the Democrats and the leftists who are coming after me. He raised $7 million.
You know, and nobody even said anything. Okay, that money's not even being used for what he said it was going to be needed for.
No. No. Here's Donald Trump saying this, and it's only 2 minutes. Trump says, if this happens in America, it's finished. Here he is right here. This is Donald Trump in his own words.
I want to ask you how this is affecting you running for president. I mean, is this affecting your campaign? Is this going to stop you?
I think it's probably so far helped by.
The best way to burn fat and get shredded is not keto, paleo, it's not carnivore, it's not vegan.
It really helped his campaign. That's what he's saying.
Campaign because you see the numbers better than I do, and I've never had it. DeSanctimonious is a terrible candidate, and I think he's out. I'm leading the Republican Party by 40, 50, 60 points. Most of these guys are at 1, 2, and 3. He's now in the teens, and I'm at 60 and 70. I think it probably, you know, there are those that say, help, because the people of the country are smart. This is the weaponization of government. Nobody thought it was possible. On nonsense, and you know what they did in Manhattan on a total nonsense case? I was going to use a word called bull something, but I don't want to do that on your show because I don't want to offend anybody, but
thank
that's
you.
What it is, bull something. They took a top person in DOJ and put him in the Manhattan DA's office. And by the way, Manhattan DA, there's crime all over the city. They do nothing, murders, everything else. But they want to get Trump on something that isn't even a crime, that we didn't do and isn't a crime. They took a top DOJ person, put him in the Manhattan DA's office to run an investigation on me. They had Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Mark Pomerantz, one of her lawyers from a big Democrat law firm, go into the DA's office in New York to prosecute me. In other words, they made her lawyer into a prosecutor. The people of our country get it. As far as I'm concerned, I consider it a badge of honor. To be indicted, I would consider a badge because I'm doing.
To be indicted, I consider it a badge of honor. That you have
insane.
To understand the mind that you're dealing with. It's a badge of honor, and I'm going to run for president of the United States. It's not a badge. Remember back in the day when things were shameful? We have no shame anymore. And the millennials did that. The millennials took our shame away. The millennials took our crazy away. They took everything away. Because once you just show up and you're appreciated and you really don't have to work hard and be rewarded for your efforts, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody hands up. Don't bully anybody, because if you bully anybody, that's bad. I say bully them. You need to bully. Bully, more bullying. If I ran for president, I would run for a bully pulpit. I would even have a bully stick just to bully people. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's you can't cradle people. This guy's saying it's a badge of honor. We got to a point where we got crazy people running amok, and we can't call them crazy. We got to a point where we can't call people hungry anymore. There's not a word. In California, we don't say hungry. We say food insecure. What the hell is food insecure? You can't say people are starving and people. Yeah, we got. Can you imagine food insecure? That's what we have here. That's what we're doing. And you know, what is it? Homeless people. We can't say homeless people. What do we call it? Is it? I forgot. It's another name for homeless people that we don't call them homeless or anything. We call them something else. I don't know. But
what?
But it's the. It's the millennial thinking that we knew that we were in trouble. We knew that we were in trouble when everybody gets a trophy. We knew that we're in trouble where you don't bully people. We knew that we're in trouble when nobody's original anybody. There's no personal identity anymore. All for one, one for all. And we moved to crazy. So when you had a crazy person on the air or you had a crazy person down the street, you cannot call them crazy. That would be unfair. If you called him crazy, you're the one who's bad. You got to help that poor soul because he has no sense. Just because he has no sense, I guess he has sense insecure. I don't know the meaning of crazy. but we would welcome crazy. And that's what we did, and that's what happened to our society. We welcome crazy. We can't even go to the job anymore. Men cannot, like I said before, men cannot look at a woman with nice tits and a great ass. Remember back in the day, it was a great compliment. Watch, here's a compliment. Pat, I'm sure you got great tits. Right, Pat?
I used to.
See, I used to. There you go, Pat. Way to go. Think positive. Back in the day, it used to be a compliment. Ellen, you got a great ass. Remember your ass? It's a great one.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all we want. We don't want a lawsuit. We want a thank you. What happened to the thank you? You go to work, and you see this woman with great tits and great ass, and she got a new outfit to show them. The cleavage is the cleavage saying, hello, it's not Friday yet, but take a peek. It's Thursday. That's where cleavage says, and you know her tits are waiting for Friday to come out to the club. But you can't look at her. And if you look at her too long, she's going to have your ass, and you're going to find your ass, and, well, Brian, you're in HR again. I know. Did you look? I had to. We told you not to look. I know. You made her feel uncomfortable. I know. Did you see the tits on her? Yes, I did. They're great tits. But you can't not look, Brian. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't fire me. I got kids. You get to that point where you can't, if you make a woman uncomfortable, guess where you're going? You're going to HR. But here's the deal. Women are very vicious. Here's the deal. You only make them uncomfortable when they don't want you to look. But there's guys that they want. See, here's the difference between you and some guy she's interested in. A guy she's interested in is like, wow, you look really beautiful today. That's a nice dress. Oh, well, thank you, Bert. Oh, and here's Brian. Hey, you look really beautiful. Look at that dress. Pervert! I'm in HR again, Brian. Yes. The only difference is she wants nothing to do with you. The other guy said it. Well, he said, we don't have him in HR. I don't know. Well, where's the other guy? Bring him in. Well, he can't. He took her out to lunch. Well, I got kids. This is what happens.
They should be giving you a desk right outside of HR.
They would. You'd be happy if they fire your ass, because a lot of times they'll just call the cops and shoot you dead right there at your desk. Well, we felt endangered. He was reaching for his pen. Oh, he thought it was a weapon. Sorry. Sorry, you bastard. Well, take Brian out. We fear for our life. had that number two pencil.
Oh, my God.
This is it. This is it.
Number two
this is the world.
Anymore.
Yeah, I know. He's an old dude. What can I say? He's a senior. But what can I still got my number two pencil. But this is what life is, and it's complicated, and it's crazy. And men don't know how to be men anymore, and women don't have to be men. My brother gave me some great advice. My big brother, he gave me some really great advice, and I should have listened to him. And the guy's a wise guy. I don't say wise guy like he's in the mafia. He's a smart guy. Don't be, oh, Brian. Yeah, now I'm going to get the rumor. Well, Brian's in the mafia. His brother's a wise guy. What? Yeah. Running around.
Yeah,
shaking down people in the mall. Yeah, he's in the store. Shaking down people. No, it's not my brother. He's a wise guy. But, he told me I was a little afraid to go into a hospital, you know, and my brother said, he gave me some good advice, and I didn't use it. He says, please be nice to the nurses. Whatever you do, be nice to the nurses.
I thought he was just going to say, suck it up, buttercup.
Oh, no, he said that, but he knew the behavior of it. He knew how this works. And I said, okay, and I said something. He goes, you're not even in hospital yet, and there's already trouble. I knew it was trouble. And he was right. I think what they did was they not only ignored me, they boarded up my room with boards so that nobody goes near me, I think. They think they took down my help button, and it just said, whatever. We're not dealing with this guy. But I should have listened to my big brother. But I'm just saying to you, you know, Trump is a product of us. Don't worry about Trump. Don't get caught up in that drama. This is what came from the ashes of this being this politically correct that we can't look at a woman a certain way anymore. We can't pat her on the ass like we used to. You know what I mean? I used to open up the door to a grocery store and kind of patted them in the way. You know, you're hitting your, you know, patting them on their ass one time. You kind of just pat, 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 pat. You know, you're helping them into the store. And they look at you like you're crazy and go, I don't even get a thank you. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. The hugs are gone. You can't hug anybody. You women, you cannot grind your hips into us so you can get an erection and you laugh at us later. Those days are gone. They're gone. We barely learned how to handshake.
Well,
I don't know who would do that. We got to look around and what kind of pervert will do that? I don't know. Ellen! But Ellen's a grinder. I didn't want to bring
is
her
she?
Out. Yeah, she's a grinder. Well, Ellen will grind your erection to a number two pencil that already that's not sharpened anymore. Be like a little stubby looking razor. She will grind you. That's a Louisiana howdy do. But I'm just saying, what are we going to do? Don't worry about Trump. Don't worry about Trump. What you got to do is remember when you vote, look at the down ballot. The only way, and it doesn't matter who's the president, as long as you can secure the Senate and you can secure the Congress, you're going to be okay. This other drama is a reality show. Trump will do things to put himself in a headlight or in a headline so he can get more money to his donors. You heard what he said in his own voice. I think it's a badge of honor that he's indicted. The man said that. It's a badge of honor to be indicted. You heard that. You can't deal with that man. You don't want to deal with, I mean, one time, I'll tell you, you know, you don't want to mess with crazy people. One time I was going to get in a fight with this crazy guy. I didn't know he was crazy, so he got really upset, and he started punching his own self in the face. I wasn't even punching him yet. He was punching himself. I'm going, damn, he's crazy. And he was punching himself in the face. I'm going, you know what, I'm just going to walk away. Don't let him beat him up. I'm not messing with this dude. If anybody's going to punch himself in the face, taxi, where's my Uber? I'm out of here. You know, what's he gonna do to me? And speaking of that, on the last note, we got to leave on the last note. There's a lot of people out there driving Uber. Did you hear the story about this Uber driver? And he took this guy on a freeway. This story happened about a week ago. I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have it in front of me. So apparently, this guy and his friends were in this Uber. They called this Uber guy. They're in the back seat. and they were drinking. And so the guy threw up in the car. So the Uber driver, he was then on the freeway. He pulled over and let the guy out who was drunk, who threw up in his car, on the freeway, on the freeway. The Uber driver took off, left the guy on the freeway drunk. Within 5 minutes, the guy was hit by a car and died. He was killed. He was killed.
Damn.
Can you imagine that? He was killed. I didn't finish up the story. I will continue that story tomorrow, but I don't know if they prosecuted the Uber driver. But there's a lot of stuff going on with Uber nowadays that is just getting really bad. It's just getting really bad. The guy who took the Uber and robbed the 7-Eleven. I mean, I'm paranoid. I give you guys the kudos if you're an Uber driver. I couldn't do it. I'm so paranoid anybody gets in my car. I'll be looking at you in my rearview mirror the whole ride just to see what you're doing. And I will be asking, you know, if I see you shuffling something, what are you doing? Nothing, sir. I'm just in my briefcase. You picked me up from the airport. What's in your bag? I hear some hissing. There's nothing hissing. All right. I got my eye on you. You know what I mean? I would be looking at this kid. And I expect 5 stars.
Look at the road. Looking at your passenger.
I'll be looking at him. I mean, you'd be hearing dead cats going, meow! What was that? Running over cats, coyotes, running through red lights. I got my eye on you, mister. I am that paranoid. I could not handle that. I don't know how you guys do it. The mentality of you guys picking up somebody, a stranger, in your car, and you're driving them, and you don't know much about, forget that shit. No. I would have to have a gun pointing at you through the whole ride. You know, you get in the back seat, and there's a gun pointing at you. All right, behave yourself. We're going for the ride. How far are we going, sir? Right here. You just got in the car. Goodbye. I'm not getting many rides today. And that's what happened to me one time when I drove a cab. There's a guy actually jumped out of my cab. He actually, I go, can I better stop. He jumped out. That's another story. Remember the story, Ellen, I told you that I was so embarrassed I didn't have anybody in my cab that I tried to grab that old lady from the store to put her in my cab so I can look like I have somebody. Remember that? It's another story.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
The
That's a true
came
story.
After you.
Yeah.
Police came after you. They thought you were kidnapping her.
Yeah, she thought it was the people that she had her groceries. Pat, it's a true story. Nobody was in my cab. I had it for one day. Everybody was driving by, and I see people in the cab. I was embarrassed. So I went to the market, and I saw this old lady. She was my, I don't know how old she was, 80 years old. Her cane was banging against the cart. She had some groceries there. I go, okay. And I went up to her. I go, ma'am, I'm a cab driver. You know, it's free of charge. I can give you a ride. She goes, no, thank you. I go, no, seriously, I can give you a ride. No, thank you, ma'am. And I grabbed her cart. She's pulling it. I said, I can give you a ride, lady. The cart's right here. No. I'm going, oh, Sam, it was like a kidnapping, and I had to run in the cab and got the hell out of there. That's a true story. That's a true story. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm running out of there, speeding out of, like I didn't look suspicious. I'm speeding out of the parking lot, and she's still shaking. I'll get you.
Yeah, you didn't look suspicious when you jumped in your cab and drove off.
I didn't look suspicious at all. I'm looking both ways. No, nobody saw anything.
And in the meantime, they got the license plate number, they got the cab number.
They got everything. They got a picture of me sweating. All right, here we go. We're going to finish the reading here. Pat, did you finish reading me? Last thing you read me, that my health, you said I had some problems with my health. Is that my last reading with you? Pat's, again, I want to remind you, Pat's a psychic, and she was reading me in the cards. Was
okay,
that it, Pat?
What kind of a reading do you want?
No, but you told me the last time you read my cards, I had some health issues. Is that the case?
Well, yeah, but I'd have to do a health reading on you.
Okay, really quickly, because we only got 2 minutes, and Ellen, while she does this for 2 minutes, Ellen has some news. We're live, Ellen. Go ahead. Your business ventures. Go.
Yeah. Okay, there's this new AI money app that's coming out, and if anybody is interested to get on this app when it launches,
You can get in touch with me on Facebook, Ellen Johnson, and I will set you up. It's $149 to join, but, you know, that $149, when this app launches, it'll more than pay for itself. You know, you learn how to trade Forex and stock and everything, crypto. You learn how to trade all of that from experts that have been doing it for a while. So, and if you're interested in that, and this will be really cool. I'm going to be joining this company, and they have edibles, they have vape pens, they have they even have alcohol shots that have THC in it. So I'm going to be joining that company this weekend, and I will be sharing that. Pat, I'll tag you in it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because they have brownie mix. They have fried chicken mix. They have cookies. They have gummies. They have all kinds of stuff.
You're making Pat drool.
Yep.
You're making Pat drool. She's getting hungry. It's lunchtime. Yeah, there you go. There's some edibles and some weed. And if you're interested,
no,
I remember how
weed.
I...
There's not weed.
Okay.
There's just the edibles and the gummies and stuff
there
like
you
that.
Go.
They don't actually have weed.
Okay, well, Ellen will be talking about it more because she's going to be on vacation and she'll be more time in here. Ellen, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on Facebook. Ellen Johnson is my Facebook. And you'll see I have my picture up there and I have a picture, you know, of the AI thing, the AI app, you know, so you'll be able to see.
There you go. And Ellen, again, she's been my producer for like 10 years, and I mean, just nothing but money, 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 any ventures that she
more
gets
than
into.
10 years.
Okay, 11 years.
More than 11 years, Brian.
Oh, my God, woman. Yes, it's been more than 11 years. She's been my executive producer. All right, Pat, oh, if you notice the time in Blog Talk, we are off the air, but here, we're already on four or five other platforms. That means we're still live. We're on like six other platforms, including maybe iHeart. So we're still live. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay.
And this will be it, and we'll say goodbye. Yes.
The health problems.
Yes.
Yes, it's citing your throat and lungs a bit.
My throat and lungs? But I need
those,
Pat. What,
you need
what do
to
you mean?
Stop smoking. That's what it's saying.
I stopped smoking. Well, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sure. You snitches.
And you need to get laid more.
What? How dare you? What are these cards, these porno cards that you have? These are like porn cards. What Pornhub cards did you get these from? Pornhub? Hello, I'm a tarot card reader.
No. You want to know about your health? I'm telling you what I see.
How does that mean I need to get laid more? Get out of my business.
Yeah,
get out of
Brian, Brian,
looking
that
at me.
Goes to the thing, that goes to the thing about, have you ever heard that saying, use it or lose it?
Exactly. Pat, you have cameras in my bedroom? Okay, tell me, Pat.
No.
Why do I need to get laid more? That's what the, how's the cards in my business?
No, there was a card showed up in the... genitalia area.
Oh,
so,
I see.
And it was one of the cards that shows, you know, upsets.
I need a little thing. Well, Pat, my girlfriend's busy. I mean, I got Tuesday available. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
Are you
going to
fly me out there for a fuck?
Yeah. Oh, God. Bow wow, chicken bow wow. Wait.
Look.
Well,
look,
you said
this,
I need to get
this new company that I'm going to be joining has stuff for to help you with that, Brian.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Wow. You know, Pat, you know the romantic music. I'll have to put on the romantic music. Here we go.
Oh, God.
Here we go. And then the romantic. All right.
you go.
Here comes waffles. Here comes waffles.
It'll do it to you every time. Look at that. Well, okay, besides that, is there anything else that I need to get done?
No, no. No,
Pat,
you're
right. Wait. Pat, my girlfriend's here, so you can hear the response. Wait a minute. Pat said, you know Pat's a psychic. Pat says that she pulled a card and it has my genitalia on it, and I need to get laid more. So do you. It's not about you, woman.
Oh, that's her response.
What'd you say in here?
She said, so do I. Oh, that woman. All right. Anything else, Pat?
No, actually, it was pretty clear.
There. All right, now I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Yeah. Huh, with that, Ellen?
Isn't that enough?
No. It's not enough. I'm not happy. All right, listen.
You didn't want more health problems, did you?
Yeah. No, I don't want any health problems. It's like, you know, back in the day, you remember when you were young, you used to send a dick pic to a woman that you really fancy? Well, nowadays, I got older, I don't do that. I just send my prescription bottle, let her know what kind of medication I'm on. That tells you how old you are. Well, here you go. There you go, lady. There you go. That'll excite you. What about my heart, Pat? I have a heart problem. Let me ask you about my heart. Is my heart strong, Pat? My health.
Your heart?
Yeah.
Your heart was not bad.
Not what does not bad mean?
Not bad right now. No, not bad.
What do you mean not
like
bad?
I don't see a problem with it immediately.
Okay. Well, it's not bad. Not good. Not bad. You're doing. All right.
No, there was no. Just the cards that were there were pretty neutral.
Okay. All right. So what we know is that I need to get laid more, and I'm going to have an affair. Is that how we're going to leave it today?
Did I say the affair?
You did say an affair, but you kept warning me in my, don't have it, don't have it. There's a hussy out there, don't have it. That's what you're saying?
That's right.
All right.
That's right, the evil woman.
There's an evil woman out there.
Yeah, that's your cue to play the Eagles, Brian.
Yeah,
woman.
Pat, I'm going to fly you out here. You know what I'm doing? I'm going to serve you some brownies with some special stuff in it and some hashish. And I'm going to play this for us. I'm going to be wearing my robes and my leopard underwear. Hey, it's going to be Pat. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to have Pat. Pat is coming to the house. There you go. That'll be your song.
And your leopard underwear going to say what?
In my leopard underwear. I know with the light on it. Like Rudolph. There you go.
Oh, my God.
Ellen's reading, and we got to go. I can't go before Ellen's reading. Ellen reading, go ahead. Give it Ellen's reading.
Hang on a second.
Okay, really quickly, then I really got to go. So that was the answer to my girlfriend. I said, Pat says I need to get laid more. So my girlfriend just looked at me in my eye. Well, so do I. This is not about you, lady. It's not about you. The evil woman's looking good. Hey, Ellen, can you imagine
no,
Pat coming to your house and... Yeah, she is. Imagine Pat getting her hair done and her makeup, and she has those look at my new underwear kind of thing on. And I said, okay, here's your wine and here's your weed. Ganja, baby. Let's play the music. Does that do anything for you, Pat, that music? Does it get you in the mood?
No, it doesn't. I just remember the characters, and then I'm turned out.
Well, fine.
Brian, you big dummy.
You big dummy. I know. Well, how about this, Pat? How about this? This is what I think. Listen to this.
My mind's telling me no.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But my
okay,
body,
Ellen.
My body telling me it hurts.
See, that's the problem I'm going to have when I meet that hussy. My mind's going to say, no, but how can I control my body, Pat?
Easy.
Give me something.
Easy.
What do I do?
Know that your life is going to be fucked if you do it.
Okay, that helped. you really mess up a Viagra tablet. You know that, Pat? You mess up my
Viagra.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
So, Ellen, are you having a problem with a kid around you right now?
No.
No, then this reading is off. I looked at it, didn't feel right. So I got to shuffle again. You're going to have to talk to me because I wasn't listening to your voice while I was shuffling.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so it's really, really hot here, Brian. What's the temperature?
How
there,
hot
Brian?
Is it?
It's like 98.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 82 here.
Yeah, you know what? Canada's always cool. So I wish it was like that. I wish it was like that here now. But I'd hate to be in Arizona right now. They're like 117 degrees.
Oh, my God. I'd die.
Yeah. And one of our news people that used to work on Channel 4 here, she just moved from here to Arizona. So.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, here we have the humidity. And in Arizona, they have the dry heat. So.
Yeah, that dries out your eyeballs, your nose, everything else.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I'm doing your cards again, but it's showing problems.
Okay. What kind of problems?
It's like there's going to be an argument that causes somebody to walk away.
Okay.
But you're above the problem. It's not your problem. It's the other person's.
Ah, okay.
Now, this could be a lover or it could be somebody that you know that's in a relationship.
Bubba running away. Continue.
Oh, it could be somebody that's just had enough because of a relationship upsets. You know, like they've screwed around or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of conflict about money going on about it, and the woman's gonna have good new beginnings. Above the problem concerning, there's no problem for the woman. Success, a new partnership, but things are going to be irrational and there's going to be major changes before that happens.
Brian.
The new beginnings and the leaving, have patience. It's going to seem very upsetting for a while, but it's going to be fine. And the Empress card is up, which can be a mother or it can be a pregnancy card, too. So there could be a pregnancy around you.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Maybe Paul and his fiance?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Of course, your kids are healthy. I have a problem. Yeah.
If it is those people, there is going to be at least a temporary breakup.
Well, that would require the makeup sex, and that's why she got pregnant.
Well, I mean, Paul and Morgan already broke up one time.
Yeah. His new girl already broke up, but he has a kid.
Well, that's her child. Yeah, but they're back together.
Well, they're back together, so that's what she said. All right, Pat, hurry, because we're on a time thing.
Okay, well, that was it.
Wow, that was it. All right, Pat, I'm going to read you. I want to thank Pat, the great Pat, for coming into the studio today. She is
thank
a wonderful
you.
Psychic.
And don't forget, Pat has many talents. If you have a ghost in your house, call Pat. Pat, you deal with ghosts and you deal with cleaning the houses of ghosts and make sure the ghosts are out.
Yes,
am I correct?
Yes.
She does ghosts.
Yes, with dragon's blood.
She has a dragon.
She'd have a lot of business here in New Orleans.
Yeah, she would. So if you got a haunted house, you call Pat. She's a regular ghostbuster. She'll deal with spirits. If you have a child that's playing with a Ouija board, call Pat. We'll make sure that entity does not come in that house again. That's what you do. So if you have an entity in the house, you got to put Pat in there, and that's her slogan. You know.
I should really start traveling to read cards, and then you know.
You should be a traveling card reader. Get yourself a covered wagon and some medicine.
I need the medicine. Can't go to any states where the weed is not legal.
Yeah. This is the only psychic that smokes a lot of weed. You got to get, and she'll tell you, I could do that. You give me some. Well, you know what?
It's legal here in Indiana, Pat.
Can you? But Ellie, can you imagine that? You come in my little thing, my little shack, and then you come in and I'm a tarot card reader. Tell me this. Can you tell my future? I go, just a second. Let me light this shit up. Okay. Hold on. You need to get laid more often.
I didn't smoke up today.
Get out of my office. I can
you want
do
me
that.
To
if
smoke
you give
up
anybody enough
and
weed
read,
and
I'll
drugs, they can. Yeah, I know. You give anybody enough weed and drugs, they'll be a prophet. But you know what? I just saw Jesus, and he told me the earth is gonna burn up. You saw Jesus? Just a minute. He said, yeah. Get enough weed. You get enough weed, you talk to Jesus. Jesus will tell you shit. I'm not happy, and I'm not coming back. Jesus ain't coming. Pat, I want to thank you. Jesus says, I came back once and that's enough. Fuck y'all.
Y'all fucked up my world.
we gotta play Craig Christ before we leave.
Oh God.
But now look what you did, Ellen. Now I got the religious people mad at me. You hear about fucking Brian, he's gonna burn in hell. I got the religious people after me. I got the transgenders after me.
They always knew that you were going to burn in hell.
They knew it. I mean, in wintertime, people just put their hands on me just to keep warm. Oh, that smells so good. I want to thank the lovely Pat. She'll be on tour soon. Thank you, Pat. Pat,
okay.
What's the name of your business, please, so people could contact you?
Oh, just call Spiritual Niagara in .ca, and I'm
there
in the
go.
Member directory.
Spiritual Viagra, baby.
No, Spiritual Niagara.
Huh. Oh, Niagara.
Yes.
Niagara Falls?
Yeah, like Niagara Falls.
Holy, I turn. Spiritual Niagara people, don't be rude. Pat's business.
.ca.
.ca. What does the CA stand for?
Canada.
Oh, Canada. Okay.
Yeah, that's how we tell we're here.
And if you want to know how to get to Pat, you just go to my website, and we have the Canabus ready, and we'll drive up there with the Canabus. There you go. There's the driver of the Canabus. Yeah. That. The Canabus, baby. I want to thank y'all for coming.
Give me a hole if you got your funky bones.
Okay, Brian. I'll let you go.
Yeah. Ellen, thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in. I'll see you guys tomorrow. We had 24 people in the studio. They just wanted to listen. I want to thank them. Again, I want to thank my brother JD for coming in to the studio. And I know a couple other people came in the studio, and thank you for listening. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. I am out. I'm out.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Sir!